Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Dave's Auto Body in Galesburg. You better call Dave's. Galesburg Nissan on North Henderson Street. You just can't buy a Nissan for less. McDonald's in Galesburg and Knoxville. I'm loving it. By Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating in Galesburg. You deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. Courtright Construction of Oneida. The right choice for your next project. Silver Streaks Football is also brought to you by Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. OSF St. Mary Medical Center in Galesburg. All together better. By Kratty Insurance Agency, your local Rockford Mutual Insurance Agency in Galesburg. Proud to bring you GHS Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
We're ready to go for Silver Streaks Football here on WGIL, at least almost ready. We had the pink out night to benefit the family of Benton Davis 2 weeks ago. Wow, they have them out on the field right now. The pink out fundraiser last week raised $7,748 to benefit Brad and Marcy Davis and their financial struggles with trying to go through the treatment for Benton. And a great night 2 weeks ago and a nice presentation here out on the field just short of the 50-yard line as we get ready to kick this game off between the Chiefs of Canton, Michigan, a record of 6-2 against the Silver Streaks of Galesburg at 4-4 and needing a win to become playoff eligible. 55 degrees as we get ready to kick this one off. Cloudy west winds at 15 miles an hour. And not quite the pleasant day that we'd hoped. Certainly if you're sitting on metal bleachers out here, but out on the field for football kids, not bad at all. Jim is down on the sideline as always. Jim, we're hoping for one more week at least. Won't be easy here.
Yeah, this becomes a playoff game in itself. You have to win already to play next week, and you're playing a playoff caliber team. Certainly here. So if we can beat these guys, it would be a good warm-up for whoever we might run into, which would be a great team next week, I'm sure. So we'll see. A lot of question marks. It's just hard to know about a team that's from so far away. What kind of football do they play? Are they not as good as maybe we think they are, or are they great? We'll find out.
Jake McKinnon with the kickoff, not doing most of the kicking duties, and it's taken at the 14-yard line by Fernando Diaz, who slips a tackle at the 27 and then plowed over as he advances forward to the 30-yard line. We're told that Canton doesn't have a great kicking game or necessarily terrific special teams, but that's one of the things Jim and I were talking about. What's considered not so great, what's considered not so strong in Michigan high school football, which we know is a hotbed of blue-chip recruiting in college football, compared to what we're used to seeing, what we think is maybe not so good or strong special teams. But the Silver Streaks will have the ball to start the game, and we'll see where we go from here. Hand off to the right side, Nick Myler. Doesn't get a whole lot across the right side of that Galesburg offensive line. As he picks up a yard, maybe two on first down, it'll be spotted at the 32-yard line. Nick Myler, of course, coming off that just terrific game, a career game last week down at Quincy, when he rushed for 22 times, 261 yards and 5 touchdowns, and you know he'll be a marked man if he wouldn't have been already coming off of that game. Jacob Ross, the starting quarterback, steps up in the pocket and then runs into a couple linebackers for no gain as he got sandwiched between Jacob Wickens and Jake Steffen, one of the captains on this team.
You know, I'm not sure Ross that time wasn't a bit distracted by the official. If he cuts to the right and goes more up the middle, I think there's some room to run, but the official was standing right there. And sometimes if you got the ball, you're using your peripheral vision. He might have thought that was a player. Instead, he cut one step to his left and ran right into two linebackers.
Silver Streaks have been good on third down the last 2 weeks. This is third and seven. Ross to pass across the middle, deflected, and then it deflects too high for Caleb Clay, the intended receiver. 5 yards past the first down marker. It's incomplete, and the Streaks will face a punting situation on their first possession of the ball game. And very quickly, we'll get an eye on what this Canton, Michigan Chiefs offense looks like.
Well, and in order to beat a good team, you've got to execute well. On that play, the Streaks did not. Somebody did not run the formation that they were supposed to run, and the coaching staff was screaming at them from the very get-go. And so if that play did have a chance, it got lost in misexecution.
Jared Stevens, one of the running backs, backs up, and who's going to, and then he drops the ball at the 25-yard line, and all he can do is fall on it. A good kick from the Silver Streaks. Mike Arinke was also back there, and it was over their heads and kind of right in between the two of them, so there was even some miscommunication as to who was going to take it. And Stevens came over running to his left, dropped the ball, and then was able to fall on it right at the 25-yard line. Silver Streaks were playing, been punting, well, more of a crosswind, I guess, more than anything on that one. All right, so here are the Canton, Michigan Chiefs, led by quarterback Jake O'Donnell, a 5'9 junior who was not the starting quarterback at the beginning of the season. They run out of the block tee, and the handoff goes to Stevens running left. And one of the things we talked about, Jim, off air that we haven't addressed yet is how closely the Silver Streaks defense is going to have to watch the handoffs. A lot of misdirection, a lot of fake handoffs. They slip the ball and hide it very well at the line of scrimmage. Stevens picks up three on first down.
You've just got to account for everybody. And it's always difficult playing against an offensive formation you just don't see very often. And this a true T, three guys lined up in that T behind the quarterback.
From the 29-yard line, handoff goes to the right side and running room for Jacob Wickens, who gets the first down all the way up to the 40-yard line to pick up 11. And two plays and a very quick first down for the Chiefs.
Yeah, Mike Velasquez quickly coming over to wrap him up from the back. You don't want have to be tackling guys from the back very often, but that's what had to be done there as a first down for Canton, which, you know, considering the trip, brought a decent crowd. Coach Tim Beckler told me on the pregame if they could get 20 here, that was good. I think they probably got closer to 50 sitting over there.
Looks like it. So left to right in the tee, it's Wickens along with Marcus Sanders, who's done a lot of the running. Handoff goes to the man in the middle, Jared Stevens, and he gets stopped short of the 45, still picks up four up to the 44-yard line.
Well, we'll wait and see what they do out of this formation, which is very run-based, obviously. As I was watching them warm up, the guy that just carried the ball, Stevens, he was running in some pass routes and looked like he could be very dangerous, obviously, with his athleticism. They love to get him the ball in the open field. I believe he was the guy they said last week did not play because he had a concussion, but keep your eye on him. He's dangerous.
Handoff goes up the middle to Sanders, finds some running room and breaks free into the secondary to the 30, to the 20, and Fernando Diaz will not catch him. And it's a 56-yard touchdown run on the fourth play of the game for the Chiefs.
Well, and you know, it's interesting that the coaches know their team and know their assignments so well. He hadn't been through the line for maybe two steps, and I'm next to Tim Doherty here, and he just hangs his head and he knew it. He knew what was happening there. He didn't have to see the rest of the run. He knew it was a touchdown about to happen.
They went four plays in less than a minute, in less than 2 minutes, rather. Ben Tabaro is the kicker. Jacob Donnelly the hold. The snap is a good one. The ball is down. The kick is up. It's 7-0 Canton. 3 minutes, 11 seconds into the game. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
With the Young Ford Pro Football Pick'em, there's a weekly winner as well as a grand prize of $500 and more.
You have a chance to win a $50 Cherry Street Restaurant and Bar gift certificate each week with a Young Ford Pro Football Pick'em. Get signed up by logging onto our website at WGIL.com. Look for the Young Ford Pro Pick'em icon near the top of the page. Make your picks each week during the regular season and you could win.
Pick your teams now at WGIL.com.
It's the Pro Football Pick'em with Cottage Rehab and Sports Medicine.
93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. With the Yum Ford Pro Football Pick'em, there's a weekly winner as well as a grand prize of $500 and more. Pick your teams now at WGIL.com.
8:49 left in the first quarter. Silver Streaks already down. 7-0. Both teams have had the possession. This is kind of how last week's game opened, too. The Streaks went downfield five plays in a scoring drive. Quincy responded with a kickoff return for the touchdown. And it took very little time off the clock, and both teams already had it once. Here a little bit different, as the Silver Streaks do not get anything on their opening drive. And this one is a very short kick, taken by Caleb Clay at the 24, running left of the middle of the field, finds a little bit of a hole, now gets to the 40-yard line. One blocker ahead of him into Canton territory at the 40, and run out of bounds, short of the 30-yard line. Nice run back by Caleb Clay. There was a good hole up the wedge, up the middle, and Caleb Clay was able to find his way through it to the left, had a couple of blockers ahead of him, And the Silver Streaks take it downfield into Chiefs territory, and they will have it somewhere. They're going to spot it right at the 33-yard line.
If we make this a ball game, that may be the Dave's Auto Body crunch time play of the game. This team needed that. This crowd needed that after that opening drive by Canton. This defense that has given up a lot of points in the last 2 weeks, you just felt a lack of confidence after that touchdown. This team needs something to spark them, and hopefully that's the thing that can get us going.
Now the streak's shifting, sending Myler and Carl wide right with Ross alone in the backfield and across the middle of the field, just out of the outstretched arms of Carl inside the 20-yard line off his fingertips. Ross led him just a little too much.
You and I were talking before the game about this big target out there that we really haven't utilized that much this season. And maybe Tim Doherty's been keeping a few things in his hip pocket here for this game, not wanting to show Canton some of the things that we might be able to do, because I don't think we're going to be able to run the ball consistently against these guys. So let's unleash a little passing attack here.
Single setback is DeAndre Morin, who takes the handoff up the middle, skips a tackle, dives inside to the 25-yard line. Good pickup on second down, which gives the Streaks third and two here, and much more manageable. And good to see DeAndre Morin take one right up the middle. He was hurt in last week's game down at Quincy, did not return. Fernando Diaz got a number of carries in the second half, along with the big game from Myler, and that's Morin's first carry of the game for eight. It's third and two. They go to Morin again. Up the middle, he needs two. He got one. But two down territory here inside the Canton 25-yard line. Ball spotted right around the 24, and it'll be a true yard the Silver Streaks need here on fourth down.
Got to think 21's going to get his hands on the ball here somehow. When you need the tough yardage, Myler's usually the guy to go to, and this will be a tough yard to get.
Myler's carried it once in the game. First carry of the game was two. Again, they need one here. Silver Streaks just under 50% on fourth downs this season, 7 of 15. So on average, they're going on it from fourth down about twice a game. Need to hurry up here. Don't want to get a delay of game penalty, and the Streaks call timeout as they saw it coming. There seemed to be some miscommunication getting the play in from the sideline, and too crucial of a moment, even with 7:22 to go in the first quarter, to take a 5-yard penalty here on fourth and one.
Yeah, because your play calling becomes a whole lot more limited when you're fourth and six. I mean, you're still in two down territory. You would still go for it here, but your odds of getting it a lot less than on fourth and one, where you've got a lot of options and the defense has to guard against many things in that short yardage situation. Good timeout by Coach Doherty to avoid the penalty.
Good day yesterday for the Silver Streaks. Again, Galesburg has to win here today to get a fifth win and become playoff eligible. And really, if they win, they're in, just because of their points situation. They have 42 playoff points, which is solid in any season. Lots of teams out there right around that 40-point mark. So this is a tougher year to get in than most. But Galesburg's opponents had a good day yesterday. Marion is playing today. They'll kick off at 1 o'clock. But the Silver Streaks yesterday got 6 victories from their opponents. So that helped out a lot. All right, here we go. Coming out of the timeout on 4th and 1. Again, the shift. Myler lines up at the up man. He's the lead blocker on the toss to Morin. He waits for the hole and gets the first down inside the 20 and down to the 17-yard line. A well-run play by the Silver Streaks. A good block to free up Morin for the yardage he needed for the first down, and the Streaks' drive continues.
Always a gutsy call. Leaves you open to question if you run wide and don't get it on fourth and short. But the Streaks made it work that time. You mentioned Myler with a good kick-out block out there ahead of DeAndre, who's run well this drive. A couple of big runs for Warren, including that first down. Streaks with the ball on the Canton 17.5, to be exact.
7 minutes to go in the first quarter. Chiefs already on top, 7-0 on a four-play scoring drive on their first possession. Myler running left. He's cut off there, tries to duck up the middle. Gets a yard on first down.
They were ready for Nick that time. They were all yelling as soon as he touched the ball. A couple of really good defenders in on the attack. Ali Masher, a 6'3", 245-pound senior defensive lineman. And Jalen Cochran, we talked about him before the game. 6'4", 235 linebacker. He's a specimen of an athlete.
Streaks with a quick snap. Ross down the middle. And a holding penalty, or rather a pass interference penalty from the backside. Myler at the 1-yard line, the intended target, and he got draped all over from the backside, and that'll be a 15-yarder, gives the Streaks a first down.
Well, that's great. Good call, too. Good call. Myler able to get in front of Stevens that time. Stevens has the height advantage by a little bit, but going over the back, and easy call. That he clearly made contact before the ball got there, so we'll march this thing inside the 10. Streaks will have, I guess, still a second and a yard. I thought we'd get an automatic first, but not quite.
Yeah, ball at the 7, so it's half the distance to the goal instead of the full 15 yards. So they get 8 yards out of the penalty. And repeat the down, 2nd and 1. Miler, the single setback as Ross comes up under center. 2 wideouts to the left. They'll hand off to Nick, skips a man. He's inside the 5, tries to run right, and it's a 1st and goal for the Silver Streaks as Miler is stopped down at the 1.
Really nice to get the 1st down and add on a little yardage. So instead of 1st and goal from the 6, you're looking 1st and goal from the 2. And what we just got to avoid right now, obviously a turnover, but a penalty. You know, we were talking with one of the Canton guys before the game. He said that's one of the strengths of the Chiefs team. They're very disciplined, and they rarely get penalties along the line of scrimmage. We need to do that as well. We had too many penalties in key spots last week at Quincy. We've got to avoid those here on 1st and goal from the 2.
Yeah, just inside the 2. The handoff goes to Myler Wright, and he's in easily for the touchdown. And halfway through the first quarter, the Streaks respond with a big scoring drive covering 67 yards, and they're back in this game down 1 now.
Can't say enough about how important that was to answer the Canton touchdown with our own and have these guys think, hey, you know, these guys put their pants on just like we do. We've heard a lot of things about them. They scored easily on us the first time. Do we pack up and go home and say they're too good, or do we take it right back down the field and say, all right, game on?
All right, Silver Streaks' kicking game was a struggle last week, but with Joe Anderson back and the kicking duties, he gets the kick inside the left upright, and 5:59 to go in the first quarter. We're tied at 7. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Silver Streaks Football on WGIL brought to you by Dickerson's Photography. Timeless images for you and your family. Office specialists providing solutions for your business. And by Dennis Twitty State Farm, helping you manage the risks of everyday life, recovery from the unexpected, and realize your dreams. Your home for Silver Streaks Football, WGIL.
Exciting news from Dave's Auto Body. We are now F-150 aluminum truck specialists. We're one of the small percentage of shops in the state of Illinois who are equipped to handle this brand new truck. It's exciting for us. It's a great truck. Come to Dave's Auto Body if you need to have it repaired.
News, talk, sports on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
.59 left to go in the first quarter. Silver Streaks put together an 8-play scoring drive that covers 67 yards in 2 minutes and 41 seconds. After an incomplete pass, Silver Streaks ran DeAndre Morin 3 times. Then they ran Nick Miler 3 times, had a pass interference penalty on the Chiefs right in the middle of the whole thing. And they answer it with a Miler 2-yard touchdown run. Anderson runs up to it, and he'll have a short kick down the middle of the field and taken on the run by Marcus Sanders up the middle of the field, and he is plowed over at the 31-yard line, ran into a couple of black jerseys, and that run back was over. But he still gets it to the 31. Not bad field position for the Chiefs. We're tied at 7, 5:55 to go first quarter.
Sanders, who had the long touchdown run, he caught that on the run going forward, and you're thinking this could be a problem, but not for very long because he was met by Tavian Cervantes. As soon as he got the ball, Cervantes wrapped him up, brought him down to the 31. Good job, Tavian.
Run through some high school scores from last night as we go through. Again, a Saturday, not a whole lot, and especially the final week of the season, just not many games out there to talk about. Handoff goes to the second man through, trying to run to the outside is Jared Stevens, and he'll pick up 3 on first down, stop short of the 35. United Township got a win yesterday. That was good for the Silver Streaks in terms of adding to those playoff points. Panthers won big, 48-14 in that much ballyhooed rivalry game down at Quincy last night. The Blue Devils were easy winners over Quincy Notre Dame, 42-7. Rock Island won. Moline had an impressive win over Normal U-High. And Alleman lost big. Handoff goes right and dragged down from behind Jacob Wickens. Crosses the 35 to about the 38-yard line. And it'll be 3rd down for the first time in this game for the Canton Chiefs.
It'll be interesting. Moline at 5-4 will get into the playoffs. I assume they've got enough points. I haven't added them up. But whoever gets them in the first round, it could be a problem. They're playing a lot of confidence right now. Mike Tracy, of course, a great coach. And that Moline team has come on strong in the second half of the season.
be third and two here for Canton. O'Donnell, the quarterback, hands off to the first man through. Up the middle, Marcus Sanders gets enough for the first down and maybe a couple more beyond it. So on fourth and two, the Chiefs keep the drive alive. They're up to the Gales, or they're up to their own. Well, they'll mark it at the 44-yard line. They'll give them five on that.
We were looking at some of their scores, and just you kind of get the vibe that where they come from in Michigan, they have a lot of haves and have-nots. You're either good or you're really not very good. There's not a whole lot of parity, where there seems to be a lot of that right now around Central and Western Illinois, so you're getting better competition night in and night out. Maybe not the great teams that maybe this bunch will run into from time to time, but everybody's pretty good.
5-yard false start penalty, second of the game against Canton, their first offensive penalty. 13 yards in penalty yardage takes them back to the 39-yard line on first and 15. Clock rolling, under 4:20 to go first quarter of a tie ball game. Chiefs scored on their first offensive possession. Streaks rallied back with one to tie it up at 7. Handoff goes to the second man. It's Stevens trying to bounce to the outside, and actually O'Donnell keeping it. Even in my binoculars, I couldn't see that one. And O'Donnell runs all the way to the outside, stopped at the 49-yard line. He picks up 10.
As advertised, that was one of the first things we found out. That, and you talked to Tim and did some research, and even their coach mentioned to me, I said, what's the strength of your team? He said, well, we hide the ball pretty well. He wasn't shy about saying that, and they sure did that time with Jake O'Donnell taking it around the end when everybody thought the man had the ball going up the middle.
Caught second and 6 after a gain of 9. O'Donnell to the first man right up the middle is Marcus Sanders. And stopped right at the line of scrimmage. And from our vantage point, I mean, I'm right at the first down marker. And where they are standing, it looks like they won't have to measure. Yep, ball spotted just across the Galesburg 46. And that'll be a first down after a gain of 6. I haven't had to use a binocular so much in a game this year. This time it goes up the middle. Streaks read it pretty well. It'll be a short gain inside the 45 to about the 41 or 2. Where are they going to spot it? Well, right in between both of them. So a gain of 4 on first down for Sanders.
You know, Mike Washabaugh was telling us on the scouting report about, you know, how the coaching staff, as best they could, tried to simulate not only Canton firing off the ball, but also that offense that hides it so very well. But, you know, in a few days' time, it's hard to get your offense to simulate what they are doing when they've been running it for years.
Second and 6. Hand off to the back man trying to get to the outside. I believe that was Julian Thornton on his first carry.
Larry,
if I read the number right.
Yeah, Larry Pettis. One of the first Silver Streaks there to greet him on a short game. Interior defensive line did a nice job there in keeping that to a couple of yards.
So Thornton's first carry of the ball game brings up a 3rd and 3 for the Chiefs. Gain of 3 for Thornton. They had a 3rd and 2 just a moment ago. Were able to convert that. And another penalty against Canton at the line of scrimmage. So here we were told before the game that that's not really something they get called for, and now they've been called it twice on this drive.
Yeah, no argument from that side. Clearly some movement on the left side of the line. So that's great. Anytime we can set them back a little bit now. Yeah, again, like we talked on the streaks drive, we didn't want to see a penalty. They didn't want to see that going from 3rd and 3 now to 3rd and 8. The ball almost back to the 45.
But again, they have that explosive capability on the ground. They don't need much of a hole with their running backs, and it goes to Wickens trying to get to the outside, and the fullback gets it, and more. Inside the 30, finally dragged down from Jacob Carl from the backside, down close to the 20-yard line. The knee down at the 22, and they pick up 22 when they needed 8.
And Jacob Carl and Mike Velasquez both down there for the tackle, but way farther down the field than you want to be making that tackle. The fullback able to rumble his way up the middle.
1:40 and counting here in the opening quarter, tied up at 7. And now Canton getting closer to regaining the lead. They scored on their first drive. This is their second offensive possession. Hand off to the up man. Sanders bouncing through a hole, but it closes quickly. He still takes it inside the 20 to the 16-yard line. and he picks up six on first down. Sanders had the 56-yard touchdown run that closed off their first possession. Now he gets him down close to the 15.
Larry Pettis again on the tackle there. Larry, I thought from what I can see on the sideline, it seems like he's played better and better as the year has gone along. He's become a much bigger factor for the Silver Streaks.
10th play of the drive for the Chiefs. Started back at their own 31-yard line. We're inside of a minute of the opening quarter of a 7-7 game. O'Donnell brings the two tight end line set. Handoff to the back man. And this is Stevens running it to the right. Inside the 15, down to the 13-yard line. And right at the first down marker, where are they going to spot it? Will it be enough?
A little short.
Little short. Less than a yard. And with 30 seconds and counting, they can get off one more play here before the end of the quarter.
The wind is definitely going on, but it's not really, it's more of a crosswind. So you, when you switch for the quarter, you're not, I don't think you're going to get much more of an advantage going one way or the other today at Van Dyke Field. It's more of a west wind than a north-south.
O'Donnell, the quarterback, runs it in from the sideline. They'll get this one away with under 10 seconds to go in the first quarter. Handoff goes to Stevens up the middle. Inside the 5-yard line is where he stopped. It'll be first and goal, Chiefs at the 3 when we begin quarter number 2. It's Galesburg 7, Canton, Michigan 7. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Get your car or pickup ready for cold weather with a trip to Farm King. Keep your pickup bed clean with a Lunge Genesis tonneau cover and save $40. And get a $50 American Express reward card, too. That's a $90 savings. Save $30 on a Cat battery charger on wheels. And check out the huge savings on Valvoline motor oil at Farm King. Don't forget new Cooper tires to keep you going through ice and snow. Then cook up your favorite football food with a Pit Boss wood pellet grill or a Bradley electric smoker on sale now at Farm King.
Stay connected with Galesburg anywhere you go. Galesburg's local news is always online at WGIL.com.
7-7 Street in Canton, Michigan, as we get ready to start quarter number 2. But the Chiefs are the first and goal at the Galesburg 3. And they have already racked up 99, 102, 140 yards of offense without a single pass play in the opening quarter. Silver Streaks had an impressive scoring drive of their own that started with a heck of a run back by Caleb Clay on the kickoff. That took it all the way down to the Canton 33, so the Streaks were able to convert that. Still took them 8 plays to go those 33 yards. And now we'll flip the field, and Canton on first and goal from the 3 will be going, well, with that crosswind and maybe a little bit in their face as the flag down on the north end of the field continues to swirl a little bit. It started off the game west. It seems to be blowing a little more out of the north now. But Canton really doesn't throw the ball very much, and they don't have to. First and goal from the 3, and there's movement again on the right side of that offensive line. Third false start penalty against the Chiefs, so we still haven't officially started the second quarter yet.
So we had said how disciplined they were, and that doesn't happen. It's happened to them 3 times in the last 10 minutes. I guess maybe we better talk about how they never turn it over.
There you go. 12th play of the drive that started back at their own 31-yard line. First and goal from the 8 now. Silver Streaks band comes out of the stands. They'll perform at halftime here, and then they've got to go down to Macomb for a marching competition later tonight. O'Donnell with a handoff to Stevens. Hurdles a man at the line of scrimmage and then finds his way all the way through. And after he gets past the line of scrimmage, he goes in virtually untouched to regain the lead for the Chiefs at 13-7.
Yeah, I was in hopes after that penalty we'd stiffen up in there a little bit and maybe force him to at least take a field goal. If they even try that, we'd mention their kicking game, at least what we're told, is not all that great. But didn't take long for him even after the penalty. He could have run a lot farther than that if he hadn't got to the end zone.
So the extra point attempt coming for Ben Tabarro. The kick has plenty of distance, and it's good even into that crosswind. And it's 14-7. Chiefs back on top just 4 seconds into the second quarter. Chance to run through some other scores from around the area in high school football last night. We gave you the Western Big Six scores. In fact, Rock Island, like the Streaks are doing here today, also played a team out of Michigan. They played Ypsilanti last night and won 48-20.
That was in Michigan.
UT won it big over Chicago North Grand, which I've never heard of before. Panthers won that one 48-14. That was UT's second win of the season. So they got one, week three, I think it was, maybe week two. So they finish off strong. The one that really surprised me, Jim, we talked about Moline earlier. Not only did they defeat Normal U-High, but they shut them out 35-0.
Yeah, had complete dominance.
Yeah.
And a U-High team that was, I think, 6-2 going in there. Now, granted, they're a little smaller enrollment-wise. I think you've got a 5A and a 7A, but we have that in this conference all the time.
Right. By the way, 12-play scoring drive for Canton, Michigan, 69 yards in 6 minutes and 5 seconds. So not only a yardage-consuming drive, but a time-consuming drive as well. Silver Streaks have been on the sideline. The offense has been on the sideline for a while after getting some momentum back. And let's see where Jacob Donnelly places this one on the kick. He'll have to hold it with the wind picking up. And that's a kick down the middle, floating to the far side of the field. Picked up and then dropped by Myler. Scoops it up outside the 21-yard line, running up the far side of the field. And then dragged by the jersey. That slows him down. And finally, Myler finished off at the 42-yard line. Still a good run back. Could have been more the way it was developing. How often do you see that, right? On the kickoff, somebody juggles the ball at... rolls loose for a little bit. By the time they get it going, all of a sudden there's room to run, and Myler took it up to the 43.
Yeah, you don't ever want to fumble a kickoff on purpose, but you're right, Brad. We've seen that a lot. You know, guys get in their lanes, they get momentum, and then all of a sudden they see the ball on the ground, and maybe they hesitate and don't take the route to the ball carrier that they would have. He finds a seam and then takes it a long way.
Streaks with a bit of a tailwind. They go to pass on first down. Ross rolling right across the middle of the field. Yes, wide yes, open yes. Clay juggles it, catches it at the 40 of Canton and down to the 36-yard line. Nice rollout by Jacob Ross. Clay open right in the middle of the field. And the Streaks are right back in business down to the Chiefs 36 after a gain of 21.
We got a flag on the play. Hopefully that's not against us after a well-run pass play.
Yeah. Well, that'll add 15 more yards on roughing the passer, which a lot of Tim Doherty's in my discussion yesterday. We ended up talking probably more about the officials in last week's Quincy game than we did about anything else. He was really upset at, for example, a roughing the passer call that he felt was very obvious. With Jacob Ross taking a hit that did not get called, he was animatedly upset even a week later after the Quincy game. And who knows, that might have been something he drew the officials' attention to before the game. So this takes it down to the Chiefs' 21-yard line. Ross waits for the referee to start the clock. There he goes. Hand off to Morin and nowhere to run up the left side. Might have gotten inside the 21 for a gain of a yard.
Wrapped up by McKinnon, 185-pound defensive lineman, a little undersized in there against the beef on the Galesburg front line, but McKinnon got low and made the solo tackle.
For Caleb Clay, that was only his 11th reception of the season, but one of his biggest at 21 yards. Second and 9 for the Streaks at the Chiefs 21. Up the middle again, Morin with room to run, finally taken down inside the secondary at the 12, and he's right at the first down marker. Will we have a measurement? Will it be enough? A ball spotted at the near hash mark on the right side. Nope, he's going to be about a half a yard short.
A good explosion by Morin through there. Got him a little gap, and he read that well and accelerated quickly up through the middle. And a third and less than a yard.
Fifth carry of the game for DeAndre for 24 yards. Single setback is Myler. They go to him. Right side dives to the 10-yard line. That's enough for the first down. A pickup of 3, and the Streaks move the chains on a big third down conversion with 10.5 minutes to go in the first half. Streaks trailing 14-7.
McKinnon made the tackle again but got kicked, and so he will come off the field for a play. Probably just one. You know, you talked about Tim Doherty, you know, being upset last week with a call or two, and if you were listening there at halftime, we were waiting to get our conversation with him, and he was having a long conversation with the officials. And we thought it paid off. You know, we did get a few more favorable turns in that second half than we did the first.
He was still barking about the 4 face mask penalties that the Streaks got. Now whistles as the Streaks get blown for their first penalty of the game, a false start flag. That'll back him up 5.
And this is part of the reason we're still right in this ball game with a good Canton team. That's our first penalty of the day. We've just had way too many of those this year. Otherwise, a very well-coached team. Every coach, it seems like I talk to, and you can tell when they're sincere about it. And again, when I talked to the Canton coach, Tim Beckler, he said it doesn't take us long to look at this film to see this is a really well-coached Galesburg football team. So even though Tim Doherty may not have the athletes he had in Edwardsville, he's still a very good coach.
They go to Morin up the middle for a gain of 2 to the 13. The 5-yard penalty takes it back to first and goal at the 15. It'll be second and goal from 13 now. 14-7 Chiefs as we approach the 10-minute mark of quarter number 2 here. Prairieland Conference yesterday, Knoxville is in the playoffs for sure after a 41-14 rout over Abingdon Avon. Lewistown finished the season strong. After an 0-5 start, they won their last four, including a big win over BPC West Prairie yesterday. On the bootleg, Ross rolling out to the left, finds Carl complete, dragged down at about the 5-yard line. That'll be a gain of 8, and the Silver Streaks face third and goal now.
Very nice call and good execution. That play, it's not impossible to stop, but it's really difficult when he's got a little time to roll that way, and Carl is such a big target out there. If you put the ball on the money, the defense to try and handle that play, it's tough. So good play by the Silver Streaks. Love to see him use that, and now we're in a third and short.
Two down territory. The Streaks would just like to do it right here. 9:10 to go first half, third and goal from the 5. Ross with a fake handoff, rolls right this time, has a man open, tries to get it to Myler, and it's deflected away from the backside. Good defense with a little reach back and a poke by Jake Steffen, and that batted it away from Myler, and now the Streaks face fourth down, fourth and goal.
Well, that time they had Patrick Bond over here on the near side, and I don't know whether he or Nick were – Bond was just inside the goal line running a route toward the pylon, and Myler was about 5 yards in front of him on the 5. Both were running laterally towards the Galesburg crowd, but both were well covered. It was a tough choice for Ross because – he would have had to thread the needle to get the ball to either one of them.
Bond is a big target at 6'6". He hasn't caught a pass since the Marion game. Running out of the eye on fourth and goal from the 5, and now whistles, and the Streaks call timeout. 9:04 to go second quarter, trailing 14-7.
Yeah, I wonder if there's some discussion. Do you definitely go for this? Or, I mean, this would be a chip shot for a field goal, even on a little bit of a windy day.
The wind really in your favor more than anything right now is it's – still largely out of the west, but somewhat out of the north.
I might consider just taking the 3 here.
Well, the ball spotted at the far hash mark. So in terms of the wind, you're kicking toward the wind in that direction. So you have a better angle with the wind blowing right to left. And then from the backside a little bit.
But, you know, I don't. Maybe Coach Doherty, too, is thinking field goals aren't going to win this game. Touchdowns
True.
Are going to be needed to win this game. So that may be the other line of thought if you're this close against a team that's probably going to put up at least a couple of more touchdowns today. You need to answer their 6. So,
well, but is 3 points still better than none?
Sure.
And when I asked him, when we talked on Thursday, I said, you know, how do you get this team? The teams that have beat them, what have they done well? He said they just score more points. He said you never really stop these guys. You just have to score more points. So do you look at it as 3 points is better than none? Apparently not, as Anderson, the kicker, is not out there, and the Streaks are lining up to go for it on 4th and 5. Morin will lined up right of Ross in the pistol. Carl, Myler, the wideouts to the right. Ross rolls that direction, gets a block to give him some extra time. He lofts it into the end zone, in the back of the end zone to Caleb Clay, and it's off his hands, out of bounds on the very back of the end zone. Well defended by the Chiefs, and the Streaks come up empty.
Yeah, very impressed with Canton's pass defense that time. They were able to get a little pressure on Ross, but in the end zone, everybody we had, we flooded it with 3 different receivers over here on the near side, and again, every one of them was well covered. Ross did not have an obvious target that time. I thought he made the best choice he could, hoped that Clay could outjump the bunch in the back of the end zone and put it in good spot, but just Clay not able to stay in bounds to keep that ball.
All right, Canton moving south to north now for the first time as the play starts from their 5-yard line, and the handoff goes to Wickens out of that T formation, the closest thing they have to a fullback. Running right, and he'll pick up a couple on first down. Again, this would be a great spot for a turnover if the Streaks could force one. Wickens picks up 4.
Yeah, or anything we can do to get a stop here. you just to get that close down to the five and come up empty, the last thing you want is for Canton to find a way to go 95 the other way and to take a two-touchdown lead. This is an important defensive possession for Galesburg.
They have Thornton back in the game. Instead, the handoff goes up the middle and scrambling and diving and doing everything he can as Marcus Sanders to whittle away a couple of extra yards down deep in Chiefs territory. He'll move it up two to the 11, and it'll be third and four.
Coach Tim Doherty down here was lobbying for the ball to be at the 10. He thought his knee initially went down there, but they gave him a yard and a half of just beyond the 11.
Sanders had the 56-yard touchdown run earlier on the last drive for the Chiefs. They got an 8-yard run from Stevens. So many weapons out of this Chiefs backfield. They face third, and we'll call it a long three here. They have to get to the Galesburg 15 or their own 15-yard line, and it goes up the middle, and upended is Thornton, but right at the line of, or right at the first down marker at the 15, a good low tackle. And Stevens went, or rather Thornton went up and over, but it was enough for the first down just across the 15. Actually, the ball's sitting right on the 15.
Yep, both ends of the ball are extended beyond that line. It is perfectly on the 15, and that's exactly where they had to get.
So a new set of downs for the Chiefs, who are 4 for 4 on third downs now. And the handoff goes up the middle.
Myler on the tackle and a saver there. That could have been a big gain as he was able to bring down Marcus Sanders. Sanders, the guy that broke through the line and had that first touchdown run for Canton.
Sanders picks up 8 up to the 23-yard line. Under 7 minutes to go here in the first half. 14-7, Canton. 71 yards already on the ground for Marcus Sanders on 6 carries. 56 of that on the touchdown run that closed out the first possession. O'Donnell brings the line set. Hand off to the last man. Well read by the streaks as Jared Stevens tries to bounce to the outside. He broke free and all the way to the 20-yard line. And he gets more than enough for the first down, picking up 7.
You know, O'Donnell with the faked handoff inside and keeping it there and getting some good yardage over on the Canton sideline. You know, as I watch this team play, I think, you know, hopefully we can hang in there and beat these guys today. But I would say they're probably similar to a lot of what you would look at if you went over to Peoria Notre Dame, some of the normal schools. Really good, solid. Not a dynamic team, but just a real good, solid team.
A little bit of a juggle on the handoff, and then Stevens controls it, and he goes for a gain of 9 up to the 38-yard line. And this will be a yardage-chewing and a time-chewing drive for the Chiefs if the Streaks can't find a way to stop this. It's second and a yard and a half here as we approach the midpoint of the second quarter with the Chiefs already up 14-7. And this drive starting from the 5. Out of that T formation. Hand off, first man right up the middle, and running room for Stevens. Weaving his way through the Streaks defense, through the secondary, finally dragged down in Galesburg territory, down to the 46-yard line. And it was Sanders, rather, not Stevens. And a big gain of 17.
Well, and even with the success of that play, big offensive lineman Devin Obrick, 260-pounder, just got chewed out by his head coach. You could hear him clear over here yell, "Get over here." There was something he did not do on that play that the coach wanted him to do, but whatever the case, it still turned out to be a big gainer for those Chiefs.
Who are now in Galesburg territory at the 46-yard line. First man through, Sanders trying to bounce to the outside. Room to run all the way in the inside as he cuts back inside the 35, down close to the Galesburg 30-yard line before he's finally stopped. Inside the 32, close to the 31. He'll spot it right at the 32 for a gain of 14.
It's interesting out of this T formation, too, that there really isn't a lot of blocking from the backs because they all, throughout the course of the play, continue to act like they have the ball.
Yep.
So you've taken several potential blockers out of there just on deception, but it still works for them.
Sanders over 100 yards rushing. They go to Stevens this time. More of a straightforward play, running right behind the line of behind the offensive line, which helps move him down to the 25-yard line for a gain of 7 more.
And as I said that time the lead out of the tee did throw a nice block into the Galesburg linebacking core, but still more times than not, I think they just want to create that doubt, even if they don't have the ball, the guy in their area thinking, well, I don't think he's got it, but maybe. So I got to stay in the neighborhood.
Second carry of the drive for Stevens. It's second and three for the Chiefs from the Galesburg 25-yard line on a drive that started back at the five, and the Streaks read that one very well. Jason Kelly in on the stop. The initial. Yep. Pettis made the initial stop as Stevens. Now they're going to spot it at the 26, so he did lose a yard. I think that's the first negative play they've had other than their penalties. And it'll be third and four. Chiefs have converted all of their third down opportunities in this game so far. They go to Thornton trying to get to the outside as the Streaks spread it out, and Thornton can only get it to the 25 for a gain of the yard back after the loss on the previous play. And there's the first defensive stop for the Silver Streaks on third down. It'll be fourth and three.
Yeah, good job by Kelly that time to not let that guy turn the corner. He got some assists from Myler, but it was Kelly with that handful of jersey that able to make the stop. Big play right here on fourth and a couple from the Galesburg 24-and-a-half with 3:35 to go before halftime. Let's stop this Canton drive, Streaks.
Chiefs have scored on every possession of the game so far. This is fourth and less than three with 3.5 minutes and counting to go in the first half. Streaks down seven. O'Donnell waiting. Now steps up, looks over toward the sideline, and they call timeout. So as long as he was waiting under center there, I had to feel that he was just waiting for somebody to jump at the line of scrimmage, and when it didn't happen, they call timeout.
Yeah, that's the fellow we were talking to there earlier from Canton said they do a nice job with their cadence, and I think the Silver Streaks staff had this team well prepared for that because they were clearly trying to draw Galesburg off sides, and when that wouldn't happen, they had to call the timeout. Big cheer from the Streaks sideline here and the players. They knew they had done well to avoid what Canton wanted them to do to give them the first down. So now Chiefs will have to earn it on fourth and three with 3:16 to go before the half, and the Streaks down 14-7.
Coming up at halftime, Jim, we're going to talk some basketball. We talked girls basketball last week. Flip the coin to the boys this week.
That's right. We'll talk with Mike Reynolds. Had a chance to sit down with him middle of this week and talk about their prospects for this year. Pretty excited bunch again, even though they lost a couple of key seniors and Grant Gibson and Joe Williams. They didn't play as big a role last year as maybe they would have otherwise without injuries and things. So this group is experienced and coming back on the November start.
Fourth and three. O'Donnell waits. Now hands off to the right side. Thornton's got enough. Nope, they swing it out to the outside.
Yes.
It's deflected and intercepted by Caleb Clay at the 20. Returns it back across the 25-yard line. They went with the pass play. It went right to the hands of the intended receiver, and Clay was there for the interception. And I'm liking Caleb Clay more and more, at least through this first half, for a Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time player of the game.
I think that'd be 2 weeks in a row, wouldn't it? He was had some key plays there, some fumble recoveries last week against Quincy. And what a big stop for the Silver Streaks. And I'm very surprised that Canton threw the ball right there with as much success as they'd had on the ground, even though it was a long three. Surprised they went away from that, and they may not do it again after giving up the INT.
So with 3:06, that was our first pass attempt of the game. Handoff goes up the middle, and DeAndre Morin, running with looked a little bit of energy, extra energy, carries it two, maybe three, to the 31-yard line.
Well, I kept thinking maybe by mid-afternoon we'd warm up a little bit. Originally they were saying a high in the 60s, but that's not happening. That
no.
Strong wind. I think 55 is about as good as we're going to get here today.
14-7 Chiefs after the Streaks force Canton to give it up on downs on the interception. Galesburg with a second and seven at the 31-yard line. 2.5 minutes to go in the first half. Remember, the Streaks with only one timeout remaining, so they need to get it downfield quickly. Handoff left, and Myler runs into a juggernaut of a stop. He'll pick up a couple more up to the 33-yard line, but that was a big hit on Myler, who had no chance to slip that. And very quickly, the Streaks face third and five.
Sophomore Lou Beckler with the tackle there. Interesting. His name is just like the head coach.
Go figure. Spelled the same way and everything.
He tackled like a coach's son there.
Streaks line up in the eye. Man in motion is Clay. Ross back to pass under pressure on the screen. Gets it forward to Myler. And some question whether or not he caught the pass. It looks like he did. And now the officials are going to say he did not. He would have been 3 yards short of the first down anyway. And Ross was under a lot of pressure in the backfield. He was not able to get that screen pass away like he would have liked. He just had to get rid of it.
Ross's worst nightmare because we let one guy come through. Ah, it's just one guy, right? Well, it was Jalen Cochran, the 6'1", 235-pound, incredibly athletic defensive end that we talked about before the game, and Ross just had to unload that in a hurry. Cochran was bearing down on him.
So the Streaks will have to punt. Not what Coach Tim Doherty wanted with a minute 49 to go, and it's a short punt rolling forward to Hayden, who gets it away, and the Chiefs are going to back away from it.
Good bounce.
Micah Rinke down there, and then he didn't even make any attempt whatsoever to go after the ball, and it rolls out of bounds at the 24-yard line is where the Chiefs will begin with a minute 48 to go in the first half, Canton leading 14-7.
Well, fortunately, Canton didn't have punt block on that time because it was the second time we've had a snap that hasn't gotten to the punter in the air. He had to pull that off the ground, and he had plenty of time, though. No rush at all as Canton fell back, and not only no rush, but no return. They were just bystanders on both ends of that punt were the Chiefs, so the Silver Streaks trying to hold here with 1:48 to go before half.
Streaks have seen three teams move the ball downfield on them right before halftime this year. This is their defensive task here, and slipping a tackle at the line of scrimmage, Stevens was stopped for maybe a gain of a yard, then he bursts forward close to the 30 to pick up five out of that. And the clock will roll. Chiefs with two timeouts remaining. This drive starting from their own 24-yard line. Running right.
Miter finally got him on the somersault tackle that time.
Thornton advances it to the... Now they're going to say he was down at the 33.
Correction, Fernando Diaz on the tackle there for the Silver Streaks.
So they're a yard short. They'll have to gain it here on third and one. And I think they got it up to the 35-yard line just across. They needed one. They got a couple.
Oh, there's a little sunshine. Won't last long. Enjoy it while it's out.
Sanders with a gain of three. Canton ball, first down at their own 35-yard line in a bit of a hurry up here.
Canton fans, I think, over there cheering the sunshine as much as their own team.
Chiefs are up 14-7. Now it's hard to see the clock, but 48 seconds and counting in the first half. O'Donnell brings the team set. Hand off to the right side. It's Thornton again. Gains four up to the 39-yard line.
Thornton got more of Mike Velasquez that he wanted, and now a late flag coming in. This will be a personal foul against somebody.
Well, they had Thornton wrestled down. I didn't see anything happen, but that's right where the flag was where the play was stopped. The referee says, no, must have been somebody talking.
Huh. Delay of game. That's kind of unusual to see that at the end of a play.
So they were holding him down. I saw him wrestle Thornton down, but then they must have laid on top of him and tried to keep him down there.
So it's just a 5 instead of a 15.
Second 5-yard penalty of the Streaks, but it gives the Chiefs a second and one now with 36 seconds to go. Ball sitting 6 yards short of midfield at the Chiefs 44. Now we whistle the play underway. The line comes set. O'Donnell takes the snap. Back to pass. Downfield. Has a man open. May have been some contact, and it's complete. Downfield to Stevens, who's trying to break free from Clay. He does, and it's a touchdown.
Well, I guess what I saw in warmups was reality. We talked about how he might come out of the backfield and catch a pass, and exactly what we had feared. He goes down the middle, and one-on-one coverage just got a little bit beyond Caleb Clay, made a nice leap for the ball, and then with the great speed afterwards. A lot of swagger on him as well. The Stevens kid, very confident in what he's doing. Takes it all the way in, and that hurts with just 25 seconds left in the half to go down two scores.
So for the fourth time this season, a team marches it downfield just before halftime. And I might mention, in each of those three previous games, Streaks lost. And they are now down 21-7 with the extra point. Good, with 26 seconds to go before halftime. So a minute 22 is all the Chiefs needed to move it 76 yards in five plays.
Yeah, Coach Tim Doherty did not wait until the locker room at halftime to express his displeasure with his defense that time. He went out and met a few of the guys and barked at them pretty well. That may be in the play of the game. I mean, this was anybody's ball game. right up until then. You want to go to the locker room with that touchdown deficit. You feel pretty good about it. But to go in two down, that's quite an uphill battle against a good team.
And the Chiefs with momentum at halftime, unless the Streaks can make something special happen here on a kickoff, they will have the ball to start the third quarter. So not only do they score right before halftime, they're going to be able to potentially carry that momentum right into their first possession of the second half.
So the Chiefs don't throw it much, but you knew they've got a couple of athletes that, when they do, could make a big play. And Stevens, on the receiving end of that long touchdown, Ariel, got it done. And Canton will kick off towards the north with 25 seconds to go before the half.
Again, not much of a kicking game. And they kick a line drive, taken on a scoop at the 20-yard line on the far side by Fernando Diaz, who returns it across the 35 to the 36, which is where the Streaks will begin with just under 19 seconds to go before halftime. Again, we'll talk with Streaks boys basketball coach Mike Reynolds coming up here at halftime. Not really any other scores to be looking at in high school football. The playoff pairings will be announced tonight. Streaks have to win in order to get in. They have enough playoff points, so the win is key, and Streaks are lined up to take a knee set, and that's exactly what Jacob Ross does. So the Streaks will go to the locker room down 21-7 as they were able to stop the Canton, Michigan Chiefs on only one offensive possession in that first half. 21-7 Chiefs at the break. When we come back, we'll talk with Streaks boys basketball coach Mike Reynolds on our halftime show, and then when we head back out here to Van Dyke Field, we'll run through the first half stats and get a word with the Streaks coaching staff as well. 21-7 Canton at the break. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Looking to spruce up your kitchen? Maybe add a decorative countertop or some new cabinets? Give Courtright Construction a call for a free estimate. They can create a one-of-a-kind countertop that has the look of real stone for a fraction of the price. Learn more at CourtrightConstruction.com. The right choice for your next project. Courtright Construction of Oneida.
Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you by Two Painted Ladies, offering upcycled furniture and unique handcrafted gifts. By Animal Medical Center, providing the finest veterinary care possible. And by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg, your home for Silver Streaks Football, WGIL.
Galesburg Nissan's 5th Annual Fill a Frontier Food Drive is going on now. 10 cans get you an additional $500 off your best deal on any vehicle purchase. You can save $1,000 and get 0% for 72 months on brand new Sentras. Or how about saving $2,000 plus 0% for 72 months on the best-selling Altima? The biggest deals of the year with our Fill a Frontier Food Drive to benefit Fish Food Pantry and the Galesburg Rescue Mission. Huge savings going on now at Galesburg Nissan, where you just can't buy a Nissan for less.
The official WGIL forecast, cloudy with isolated showers this morning and a high 62. Clear, a low 38 tonight. Sunshine, 61 tomorrow. Tomorrow night, clear, a low 39. Monday, sunny, a high near 65. Cloudy Monday night, a low 44. Tuesday, cloudy, a 50% chance for some showers and a high near 60. Then Tuesday night, showers likely, a low 48. Right now, 56 at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
WGIL's coverage of Silver Streaks football continues with the GHS Halftime Report on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Halftime of Silver Streaks football, and time to turn our attention to Silver Streaks boys basketball, as we like to do a final regular season game every year. And Coach Mike Reynolds joins us to talk about his team, and won't be long, Mike. We're ready to bounce the ball inside.
Yeah, just a few weeks away here, so hopefully, you know, football can get a big win and keep pushing forward, and we'll miss those guys for a little bit. But, you know, we got a lot of guys that aren't playing a fall sport or getting finished up with soccer or cross country, and we should be ready to go here in a couple of weeks.
We talked with girls coach Evan Massey last week, and some high hopes there. He's trying to temper those, but a lot of good returning players, and I know you guys are in the same boat.
Yeah, you know, we have a number of proven players, and you know, we had some injuries and issues last year that forced them into some roles that you know, we hoped would pay off this year, and you know, we're still hoping that's going to be true, and you know, the way they performed in the summer, I think it probably is going to be true.
You have four starters back. You obviously lost some key people in Joe Williams, who started at the end of last year, and then Grant Gibson, of course, who we lost at the middle of last. It was a tumultuous year for a year where you accomplished so much, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know, we won 25 games, won a few tournaments, and you know, still left, you know, Canton, you know, against Manuel with kind of a bitter taste in our mouth. And we're hoping that, you know, we can even do better. And in the league, we ended up second place. And I know we let a couple one-point games go at home that, you know, that we, you know, another play here or there, we're conference champs. And that's been pretty frustrating here over the last 6 months. But hopefully it's something that drives our guys and gets them over the hump this year.
Ethan Meeker, again, will be looked at to be the key on this team from a scoring standpoint, but you've got some other guys who I think could probably step up and maybe even do a little more in that capacity than they've done in years past.
Yeah, you know, Devin Ross is now a three-year starter, and he's his offensive game has been up and down, you know, and he once, you know, Grant was out, he stepped his game up, and I thought played really well down the stretch. I think the two biggest surprises, or maybe the three biggest surprises, are going to be our bigger players. You know, Kevontae Shaw and Eric Thompson and Cody Hawthorne has gotten a lot better, and I think those guys will be tough matchups for teams. And you know, we have some role players after that, but certainly those three guys inside are going to be tough for people to handle.
Well, and one of the keys, from what I can see with these guys, some of these guys really love to play basketball. I saw Kevontae a lot over the summer out at the Y, and I know Eric just eats and breathes and sleeps, I think, sometimes the game. And so that's great for a coach, isn't it, to have guys that really want to be there?
Yeah, I mean, it's a bonus, you know, when you want to be here and you want to try to do the little extra things on your own to get better. I know Coach Walden at Knox have told me a number of times that he sees Meeker down there and Eric and Devin and a number of our younger guys down there trying to get in their open gyms and play. And that's how you become a really good player, is you continue to work on your individual skills and try to test them against the best players you can find.
This year you've got, I was looking at the schedule, we're going to be enjoying home cooking a lot. You've got a great schedule here.
Yeah, we have a lot of home games. It just kind of worked out that way. You know, St. Charles East wanted to come here, even though it would have been maybe a road game for us. Morton, way their schedule worked, they needed to try to flip it. With our tournaments, our non-conference can kind of be either way, you know, because we're always going to have 15 home games pretty much with the Thanksgiving and Martin Luther King tournament, and then our five conference games. So the home and away thing doesn't matter to much as it does to other teams that are doing scheduling. So I think that's sometimes why we're able to get some games, because we were pretty flexible. So we were able to be flexible with Morton, and last year we were flexible with Sam Payne Centennial. And it should just be a pretty good schedule. I think we got a good home schedule. So I know they're still selling season tickets. I think $40, that's a pretty good deal, because I think we have about 20 home games. So that's a lot cheaper than the $6 price.
That's got to be a sense of pride for you in coming here. Not only the record the team has had, but the ability to get the Thanksgiving tournament back, to get this MLK thing going to the level it is. Year in and year out, it provides you with, as you said, home games and a lot of recognition.
Yeah, I think it's twofold. You know, when I was one of the things when I was hired, you know, Gene Dennis, our superintendent then, he said we have to get tournaments back in Galesburg. You know, and as budgets and things come up, you know, we're looking at, it's actually a revenue source. You know, it's a revenue source for our school. It's a revenue source for our community. They you know, they stay in town and they spend money here. And I think it's not only a good event for our high school, it's a good event for our community, both the events. And then we've added to, you know, the shootout where we join forces with the girls and have the one-day shootout, and that's been really good for our community too. It's you know, our town is a big basketball town, so it's nice to give them opportunities to support it and have a chance to come out and watch it.
Let's talk a little bit more about the players. We talked about the guys that we're going to see a lot of, obviously. How about the guys coming off the bench or the guys this summer that were working, trying to make a name for themselves to get a little playing time?
Well, you know, there's a few of them. I think, you know, Darius Sammons played a little bit last year, and Memphis Nicholson played a little bit last year. Those two guys have a chance to do some good things, you know, whether that's off the bench or starting, you know, who knows at this point. But I think those guys played really well in the summer and have spent a lot of time trying to get their, you know, shape their game to be able to help our team win. And then, you know, we have some young juniors and guys like, you know, T.J. Pendleton, who you saw on the sophomore team, and Dean Skinner on the sophomore team, DeAndre, who's, you know, still playing football. And you know, those guys have a chance. And you know, we have another junior, Mark Harden, who, you know, was the, you know, leading scorer on the freshman team. And then, you know, like Grant, he tore his ACL last year, and he was out there all the season. So I don't know that he'll be, you know, 100% at the beginning of the year, but I think he could be a force coming down the stretch for us for sure. He's been cleared and everything. But, you know, just – only Adrian Peterson comes back in 10 months. I tried to explain that to Grant too, you know, and you know, the Vikings did a pretty good job of rehabbing him. But so I think, you know, Mark, as the season goes on, might be a pretty good offensive lift off the bench for us.
I know that just having size isn't the complete package, but watching the sophomore team play some last year, I thought, wow, we've got some height across the board that we haven't had in a while.
Yeah, the game's changing, you know, and we played four guards a lot last year in Eric and kind of switched Eric and Cody out, you know, due to other things. You know, we played them both together, like against Manuel and some other teams. The plan right now is to play Cody and Eric together a lot, you know, as long as they don't foul themselves out of the world, which they like to do sometimes. But, you know, that's kind of our plan right now. But the game's changing. You know, as a big guy, you got to be able to guard a perimeter guy because some, you know, teams like Rock Island might play four little guys. You have to be able to guard ball screens. You're going to have to be able to go on the perimeter. So being big's a nice thing, but, you know, you watch the NBA last year. Everybody's going to want to play like Golden State. You know, you run down and run you through five screens and jack a three. And, you know, Cody and Eric can do that, and Cavante can do that. Can they do it on a consistent level to be able to play big? You know, that remains to be seen when we play against the really good teams. But I have confidence that, you know, in our 2 weeks of preparation before the season and as we start getting into, you know, the tournaments and things, that we'll find that big lineup out there a lot.
Well, and, you know, you mentioned Thompson and Hawthorne inside. They're very aggressive players. If they do get in foul trouble, that's where I suppose a Pendleton and some of these other kids, just to give you some minutes maybe if you get in that situation.
Yeah, I you know, TJ played really well in the summer, and you know, Cavante, you know, played some guard and played some forward. He's kind of that typical combo player, especially if he can get a slower guy at him on the perimeter. He really can exploit that. And then hopefully they put a little quicker guy on him, and then they can exploit him inside. So he's kind of in a cat and mouse game. You know, Grant was in that sometimes when he was a younger player, and I think that's important. And, you know, I think we'll rotate a lot of guys. I think we have a little more depth. You know, it's much like the beginning of last year. I thought we had a lot of depth at the beginning of last year. You know, it took some hits as the year went on. But, you know, we want to be prepared for all those, you know, crazy situations that might come up.
You've got a new assistant coach coming. We're still up in the air on that, but I know it's a loss to have Steve Cheeseman step away, but still those things in coaching, guys just need a little time to breathe sometimes.
Yeah, I don't know if he's 70 or 80 years old, but he's retiring from coaching, and he's going to go to do an easy job now. You know, be a radio announcer, so a play-by-play announcer. So he's met the world to our program. You know, in the last 7 years, we wouldn't be where we're at without him, and you know, I've had a lot of meetings and discussions with him after the year about all the things he did. I think I didn't even know all the things he did, which is, you know, real scary as he's not here. But he's just a phone call away. And I think, you know, he's had maybe a longer basketball career, you know, at different levels than anybody else in Galesburg history. I think he said 32 years he's coached basketball at some level and, you know, in the school district. So I don't know if there's too many guys that have done that. And he even said that he's coached more than Coach Bob. So he certainly wanted to put that in. So he's done a great job, and you know, I can't say enough good things about him for sure.
Be the type of guy that's an advisor to you, but also the kids know and trust him, and that had to be key to help any situations that came up on the team.
Yeah, you know, he was really good at calming me down sometimes, and he the kids trusted him. You know, a lot of them knew him from Churchill, and then as he got up here, he already had that built trust in, especially our younger guys. As they came in, and you know, their eyes are wide open to basketball, and he was a good bridge for us in the junior highs also, because he had that connection with all of those people down there, and he's certainly going to be lost, but you never know, guys. We might be able to coax him out of retirement someday. You know, as long as somebody donates some money to give him some more money, then that'll be the way it works.
He's not far away, but in the meantime, do you have a deadline? Do you have to say, I got to have another assistant in by such and such day?
Well, I mean, you know, we've got some guys in mind, so, you know, guys that we've worked with in the past. So I think, you know, the transition will be okay that way. You know, we'll see how that all shakes out. But, you know, practice starts November 9th. As long as they're here November 8th, we can get them on the same page and get rolling. You know, it's a big job right now. You know, because, you know, we won 25 games last year, and, you know, we left some things on the table. We thought we should have maybe won a couple more games. I know we can all think of, you know, 3 1-point losses right in the middle of the year there that still burn us a little bit. And the regional, I think we had that, you know, we had a chance. You know, we missed a lot of open shots there in the fourth quarter, and we got open shots. We got a lot of stops against a really good team, and we know that the road's going right through them again, and you know, we're ready for the challenge, and we hope the new guy can step right in and help us get over the hump.
Sounds good. We'll talk more basketball as we get into November. Thanks for a preview this year, Mike.
All right, thank you.
All right, Mike Reynolds, Silver Streaks boys basketball coach at halftime. We'll be back to give you the second half from Van Dyke Field. Final regular season game, the Silver Streaks and the Canton Chiefs coming up after this on WGIL and WGIL.com.
The top stories of the day and so much more. 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL, Galesburg's local news.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. We're learning of a tragedy at the Oklahoma State University homecoming parade in Stillwater. Reports say a vehicle crashed into spectators.
We know of multiple injuries. There are local reports of at least two people dead. We also know that there are multiple medical helicopters on their way.
Fox's Leland Vittert. Mexico trying to assess the damage after being hit by Hurricane Patricia last night. Now a tropical depression, much of Texas under a flash flood watch.
Major flooding going on. The town of Corsicana up here in Navarro County has had over 18 inches of rain in 30 hours, and there's going to be more coming throughout the day today, and that's caused significant flooding. Lots of water rescues going on.
Fox meteorologist Rick Reichmuth and Hollywood legend Maureen O'Hara has died, the red hair star, John Wayne's favorite leading lady. She was 95 years old. Fox News, we report. You decide.
To those who say, just as the sun rises in the east, so too must breakfast be enjoyed in the morning. McDonald's now says, yeah, we don't really agree with that. Introducing McDonald's new all-day breakfast menu. Now you can get a hot and freshly made Egg McMuffin sandwich, hash browns, and other delectable breakfast tastes day and night. It's time to start enjoying the breakfast you love anytime you wish. Breakfast items vary by location. Deliciousness doesn't.
Have you ever compared football to your auto insurance? One fumble can cost you the game. And with auto insurance, not having the right amount of coverage is a weak offensive line. Hi, I'm Mark Craddy with Craddy Insurance, your Rockford Mutual Insurance in Galesburg. We'll make sure you have deductibles you're comfortable with, so no matter what play is made, you'll avoid the tackle. And our money-saving auto home discount is an automatic first down. Stop by Craddy Insurance on North Henderson Street and find out why Craddy and Rockford Mutual Insurance are the game-winning touchdown.
Whether it's with eeny, meeny, miny, moe, or a vast knowledge of football stats, pick your teams now for a chance to win with this week's Pro Football Pick'em on WGIL.com.
Halftime here at Van Dyke Field. 26 Trail, Canton, Michigan. 21-7, the Chiefs scored on a 61-yard pass play with 26 seconds to go in the second quarter. And that helped him move the ball downfield very quickly right before halftime, and they lead. They've scored on three of their four possessions. The only possession that the Streaks held defensively was a drive that the Chiefs started at their own five-yard line after Galesburg could not punch it into the end zone. And even then, the Chiefs took 5 minutes and 50 seconds off the clock. The drive ended with a Caleb Clay interception, which was on fourth down anyway, so had they not converted on fourth down, the Streaks would have gotten it back anyway. So the Streaks trail at the half, 21-7. The Chiefs scored on their opening drive, which took just a minute and 47 seconds off the clock. It ended with a 56-yard touchdown run by Marcus Sanders. Their second drive took 6 minutes and 3 seconds off the clock. That ended with an 8-yard Jared Stevens touchdown, and then, as we just mentioned, the 61-yard touchdown pass also to Stevens. They have racked up 234 yards on the ground, 61 through the air, nearly 300 yards of offense, and they've had the ball for just over 15 minutes of the first half. So winning in every facet of the game, Jim Lee is with head coach Tim Doherty.
All right, well, Coach, they scored early. You come back with a big kickoff return, tied it up, but then after that let them get out to a two-touchdown lead, and that's got to be a tough hill to climb out of.
Well, they're just playing ball control on us, and they got a lot of firepower and offense. The hardest part is getting the ball back. Last thing we need to do is, you know, give that one up. All we needed was a first down and run some time, and then just, I don't know. That was the frustrating one, and then we left one down inside the 10 there. So, you know, we're playing with them. It's just they're just a really good football team, clearly the best team we've played, and we've got to be perfect to be in the game.
Yeah, when we saw they've got good athletes. If they need to run somebody out in pass formation, they can, and they executed that pretty well. Was our coverage what you hoped it would be, or should somebody have knocked that down?
He was right there. He was all over him, and, you know, he just made a great catch, and that's the way it goes, you know. So, you know, we're where we need to be. We just got to play a little bit better.
Is there any thought towards kicking a field goal, or do field goals not win a game like this?
No, we're here to win. You know, I didn't think it was going to be a three-point game. I just felt, you know, obviously now it looks like we should have, but, you know, I just felt getting another score on the board would have just, you know, given us fresh air. So, you know, that's my thought there.
Sounds good. Thanks, Coach.
Yep.
As always, our thanks to Tim Doherty joining us here at halftime as we are just about ready to start this second half with Galesburg trailing 21-7. As we mentioned before the half, with the Chiefs getting that touchdown right before halftime, they are going to have the ball after the Streaks kick it off here to begin the third quarter as well. So a chance for them to build on the momentum. And as we talked about statistically there at halftime, our halftime stats and coaches interview brought to you by McDonald's in Galesburg and Knoxville. I'm loving it. 234 yards on the ground on 30 carries for the Chiefs, led by Marcus Sanders. 9 carries for 104 yards, including the 56-yard touchdown. Jared Stevens, 10 carries, 57 yards. That includes an 8-yard touchdown run. Jacob Wickens, 4 carries for 42 yards. Julian Thornton, 5 carries, 16 yards. And the quarterback, Jake O'Donnell's run it twice for 15 yards. O'Donnell, 1-for-2 passing with an interception and a 61-yard touchdown. We're ready to kick this one off in the second half. Anderson sends it deep, taken high on the far side of the field at the 5-yard line by Colin Troop, who runs up the middle of the field. He runs up to the far side of the field. He gets a block on Anderson that frees him up down the far sideline, and he takes it all the way back. Colin Troop does for a 95-yard touchdown.
Is there anything we could not afford this afternoon and have a chance in this ball game? It just happened. They come back with a big run, and the last guy that had a shot at him was kicker Joe Anderson, and he just got leveled.
He got taken out big time.
As he went to move that way, somebody just pancaked him, and he's hobbling off the field a bit. He's all right, but a little shaken up probably after that block. And Canton firmly in control of this game now after the big kickoff return.
Silver Streaks of the first 6 weeks of the season had not given up a third-quarter touchdown. That is their fourth third-quarter touchdown they've given up in the last 3 weeks. And we are only 15 seconds into the second half. The extra point is good. It's now 28-7. Well, Tim Doherty just told you, Jim, we got to play perfect ball if we're going to win this game. That is not perfect ball.
No, at 14-7, again, with a half a minute or so to go in the first half, you're thinking, we're right here. You know, I thought we could go to the locker room and say, you know what, we've heard a lot about these guys, but we're playing with them toe-to-toe. We're a touchdown down. Nearly could have tied it up. Got down to the 5-yard line before we stalled out there late in the second quarter. And you're thinking this is a pretty even ball game, but then they throw the long pass play and the kickoff return, and here we are.
Yeah, even getting a first down, the Streaks got the ball back. Well, I flipped my chart over from the first half. Streaks got the ball back with 3:07 left in the first half, down 14-7. All they need to do is get a first down. And they don't give the ball back to the Chiefs. I mean, barring, you know, a big mistake, turnover, something like that. Now, granted, you'd like to think more than just a first down, but if they just get a first down, maybe two, certainly one, the Chiefs don't get the ball back. And now here we are, 15 seconds into the third quarter as the kickoff is taken by Clay at the 18-yard line. And he runs it up the middle of the field, up to the far hash mark, stopped at the 35-yard line. Instead, now the Streaks are down 3 touchdowns. And a team that they have not been able to stop but once through the entire first half, the Streaks are going to have to shut down completely and find a way to put some points on the board to rally back from down 21.
Well, and you could get the feeling from Tim Doherty there in the few comments there just at the end of the half that he knew that was before the touchdown run what they were up against. You know, he doesn't usually just say this other team really, really good team. He usually gives his own club a chance, but I think he knew just how tough it's going to be to come back against this Michigan team.
Well, how about for the Silver Streaks on the ground, 12 carries for 43 yards in the first half. And Nick Myler was lucky to get a yard there on the first play of the second half.
Yeah, and they've taken Nick completely out of our offense so far today. I mean, I'm sure they watched what he did to Quincy last week and thought, well, that's probably job one to stop their offense, is to slow him down, and they have so far.
He does have a touchdown, the Streaks' only touchdown of the game, as Ross goes down the middle of the field into double coverage, and it's intercepted, intended for Myler, And all he can do is make the tackle after the pick downfield by who else?
Stevens.
Jared Stevens. If you've got a player of the game for Canton right now, it's him.
Yeah. Yeah, he's, like I said, he just exudes confidence out there on the field, the way he carries himself. He's got the speed, he's got some strength, and he can play both sides of the ball very well. And that time he looked like a wide receiver. The ball was thrown to the inside of him. All Myler could do was, he looked like the defender on that play.
Yeah.
It was just tackle him after he made the interception.
No, it's not a good idea for Ross to try to find Myler in double coverage downfield. And now the Chiefs take over at their own 26-yard line. Hand off to the right side to Thornton, trying to bounce to the outside. Caleb Clay slows him down, and then Thornton is dragged down from behind, but he picks up 12 on first down. And looks like we got an equipment issue.
Actually, I think Velasquez got it. His arm's hurting. He's coming off the field. But he was hobbled a little bit coming up off the field that time. He's yelling coming out. He's such an intense guy. He just... mad that he has to come out for a play or two, I think.
Yeah, the Streaks really have to, the defense has to step up big here. They cannot let this game get out of hand as the ball goes up the middle for a gain of, we'll call it four on first down to the 42.
You know, it's interesting, we were talking about how Myler just wasn't able to get much done, and that pass play was almost our desperate attempt to say we've got to get Nick involved here somehow because he's not able to run, so let's throw it to him deep, but Canton more than ready in double coverage there to stop that. And, yeah, the Chiefs trying to really put the hammer down here. I'm sure they feel like if they can run downhill and stuff another one in, they can get on the bus pretty soon and head home.
Had one drive in the first half that resulted in a touchdown that took over 6 minutes as the play goes to Sanders up the middle, and he's dragged down at the ankle by Jacob Carl, but a first down at the 50. They had another drive that did not result in any points. They took just under 6 minutes. So those two drives alone, they took 12 minutes off the clock and more than capable of doing it here again, up three touchdowns now. Ball spotted at midfield.
Was going to go out that play, and then it was too late. He got about four steps on the field, had to run back in.
Out of that tee, handoff to the last man through.
Myler and Morin are running backs making the tackle on their running back that time.
Stevens with the carry picks up four down to the Galesburg 46. Again, the Streaks have contained Stevens for the most part on the ground. 11 carries for 61 yards. Still a good percentage, 5.5 yards a carry, and he does have the 8-yard touchdown. Marcus Sanders, 11 carries for 116 yards. Half of that on the 56-yard carry. It went for a score on his first handoff of the game. This time it goes to Stevens again, right up the middle, covering up the ball, and a first down inside the 40. And they'll spot it down at the 36-yard line after a gain of 10 more.
The ball was blowing away. One of Mike Velasquez finally picked it up and handed it back to the official. They put it down in the middle of the field, and it just got on a roll there with the wind, and it was just going to... In fact, one official's got his foot blocking it now because the wind wants to roll it over to the Canton side of the field.
Rolling under 9 minutes to go in the clock in this third quarter. Chiefs with the ball leading 28-7. They're down to the Galesburg 36-yard line. Fake handoff goes to the second man through Stevens. To the outside, gang tackled inside the 30 down to the 27. And he'll pick up. Well, actually, they're going to spot it back closer to the 29 for a gain of 7.
Shame on me. I can't remember the name of the United Township running back, but Stephen reminds me a lot of him. Satan-style runner, straight up and down, shoulder pads square, good speed.
Speaking of United, are you surprised? Mercer County shutting him out last night, 27-0. Hand off to the right side to Thornton. Makes the extra effort to dive across the 25 for the first down.
A little surprised on the shutout. Not necessarily. It was at Aledo. I'm told that they are at full strength after having some discipline issues this year. And somebody had tipped me on they thought that Mercer County was going to play a really good game last night. And they did. That got them into the playoffs, too. Unsportsmanlike conduct penalty against Canton here at the end of the play.
At the end of the play, right. So I think they're going to have the first down. And then they're going to mark him back 15. So it'll be first and 25.
And there are, you know, there are some teams in the area that are going to make the playoffs but are just on their heels as they go in. United is one. Princeville's another one. They got ripped last night.
Yep.
That aren't going to be around the playoffs for very long if they get matched against a 9-0 or an 8-1 team.
Mid-County playing the waiting game. They're 5-4 with 37 playoff points. Most years, that would get them in. This year, maybe not. Playoff point numbers are pretty high this year. It'll be 1st and 10, and I think the streaks are going to be offsides as Myler was coming around from the outside. Nope, we got a false start penalty. So a 15-yard unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. Took him back to 1st down at the 40, and now it'll be 1st and 15 at the 45. 58 yards in penalties against the Chiefs. That's their 7th flag of the game.
Well, today we're, I was going to say, the team trying to generate some enthusiasm. I mean, a lot of standing around. You know, you're down. It's kind of chilly. The crowd is very thin, especially after the halftime show. We lost some. And it's a tough time of the game right now for Galesburg.
Up the middle, almost kind of a simple dive play across the to the 43-yard line. Sanders, the last man off the bottom of the pile. It'll be 2nd and 13. You know what? One of the things I fear here, and of course if Canton scores, I guess it really doesn't matter either way, but it certainly is a detriment to the Silver Streaks even more by backing them up 20 yards in penalties on the last two flags. It just allows them to run more time off the clock. Already leading by 3 touchdowns, Thornton the handoff, running off right tackle inside the 40 to the 38-yard line. He'll pick up 5, and it'll be 3rd and 8.
Well, and the thing about Canton, their running game, they don't run outside. You know, a lot of teams, that every other time they run is going to be a sweep or going trying to get to the edge on the out. Almost everything they run is inside. So the clock, it's like Geneseo. It just keeps rolling. And they get together, if you're tackling them every 3 or 4 yards, they'd have an 8-minute drive.
Yeah. 5 for 6 on 3rd downs. This is 3rd and 9. O'Donnell with the keeper, breaks to the outside, and he's free. And a hustle down the sideline, slips a tackle inside the Galesburg 10. And finally stepped out of bounds as his momentum. He just couldn't stay in. But he's all the way down to the Galesburg 8-yard line on a gain of 30 by the quarterback O'Donnell. And just another situation where he faked it so well that the defense was going after everybody else. And O'Donnell ran free.
And he's the one guy that really will go outside. As we said, everything else has been inside. But O'Donnell, when he runs, does get to the outside. And I would guess, maybe they looked at a little Rock Island video, because that's what Rocky killed us with so many times, was their quarterback being able to fake inside and get a few yards going out.
Handoff will go this time to Stevens, stopped either right at or just short of the 5-yard line. Took a good shot to the midsection, the nose of the football sitting just short of the 5.
Myler, Cervantes, a few others in on the tackle there. I think Nick was the one that took him off his feet a little bit down low. But you're right, just this Canton machine continues to grind down the clock and grind down the field, already up 3 touchdowns. And
halfway through the 3rd quarter. 6 minutes to play, 28-7, Chiefs on top. That misdirection, and they disguised the ball so well. But after looking running back, running back, running back, O'Donnell runs at 30 on a big 3rd down conversion, and this time they go right up the middle on a hole for Stevens, who runs it in from 6 yards out, his 2nd touchdown of the game. And the Chiefs are now getting into route territory, up 34-7 with 5:48 to go 3rd quarter.
Isn't it amazing how quickly a game can get out of hand? I mean, a really competitive game, I thought, with a minute or two left to go in the second quarter.
He's going after everybody else. And O'Donnell,
and he's
yeah, Canton took over with a minute 48 to go before halftime. At that point, it was 14-7. They took a minute 22 off the clock to get a touchdown right before halftime. Then they returned the opening kickoff of the second half for a touchdown. 40 seconds later, they get the ball back on an interception. And now with 5:48 to go in the 3rd quarter, they're up 35-7 after the extra point. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Silver Streak Football and WGIL brought to you by attorney Tricia Blake at Blake Law Office in downtown Galesburg. Caring Hands Animal Clinic. Caring Hands, Caring Hearts next to Bart Optical on Henderson Street. And by Templeton Roofing. Best in roofs. Galesburg's commercial and residential roofing contractor since 1930.
Looking to spruce up your kitchen, maybe add a decorative countertop or some new cabinets? Give Courtright Construction a call for a free estimate. They can create a one-of-a-kind countertop that has the look of real stone for a fraction of the price. Learn more at CourtrightConstruction.com. The right choice for your next project. Courtright Construction of Oneida.
93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Scoring drive that covers 74 yards in 5 minutes and 13 seconds. And the Stevens 6-yard touchdown run and the extra point make it 35-7 as the Silver Streaks, after the kickoff and the run back, will have this one at their own 38-yard line. 5:43 to go, third quarter. Unfortunately, Jim, looking more and more like our next broadcast will be basketball season, the night before Thanksgiving.
As we talked with Mike Reynolds, again, our thanks to him at halftime for giving us a preview of the season. Of course, we talked with Evan Massey last week. They'll get started with practice a week from Monday. Boys, a couple of weeks from Monday.
Handoff up the middle, bouncing to the outside. DeAndre Morin crosses the 45, stopped at the 46-yard line, picks up 8 on first down.
Quite a schedule of basketball games this year, and John Field Gymnasium, the lights will be on frequently. Between the boys and the girls, hosting a number of tournaments and a lot of home games. And so we look forward to that. Both teams should be very good again this year. And we'll have about a month between broadcasts, though, unless the Streaks rally here.
This is only their fourth play from scrimmage in the second half. The second play was a turnover. And Nick Myler, a jersey tackle, just held from the backside and slowed down and then finally brought down by Ali Mashour. But Myler still crosses the 50, close to the Canton 47-yard line for a pickup of 7. One of Myler's longer runs of this game. Only his 7th carry for 23 yards. DeAndre Morin, 7 carries, 35 yards. Out of the straight I formation, Morin again hit once and then taken down from the back. He got hit, knocked sideways, and then somebody polished him off, knocking him forward from the backside. He picks up 1.
Well, a good number of these guys that you see out here for the Silver Streaks still had a good year. They'll finish 4-5, but a lot of them, a junior class, will be back. There'll be some seniors, though, that will be sorely missed, that this will be their last game, again, barring an incredible rally.
And there was senior day ceremonies here honoring cadets, cheerleaders up the middle. DeAndre Morin stopped just a yard short of the first down as he crosses the Canton 40 to the 39. Band members honored here today. They'll head down to Macomb. They'll be leaving, well, a little over a couple hours for a band competition. After a pregame and halftime performance here today, here's 3rd and 1 for the Silver Streaks. Galesburg 1 of 5 on third downs. Again, straight out of the eye, bouncing to the outside. Myler trying to escape a tackle running wide, but Stevens is there to bring him down, and I think Myler's forward progress is enough to get the first down, but not by much. It'll be right between the 37 and the 36. And they're going to move it? Yep, they're going to move the chains.
Myler, always aware of where he is at on the field, knew that he was going to have to really stretch out to get that first down with Stevens dragging him down from behind, and he did it.
So a new set of downs for the Silver Streaks just outside the 36-yard line. Now they come out of the eye. Myler in motion, now lines up just to the right in the slot. Fake handoff left. On play action, Ross to the sideline. It's caught by Tyree Mitchell, and bounced out of bounds at the 27-yard line. He'll be a couple yards short of the first down.
Ross very patient that time, waiting for Mitchell to get closer to the sideline. Makes the pass a little safer and drilled it right in there to him. So we're seeing a player or two new players on the field for Canton defensively here.
Only the third pass completion of the game for Jacob Ross. On 2nd and 1, Morin up the middle, finds a hole, crosses the 25 to the 24, and that'll be enough to move the chains. Pickup of 3 for DeAndre Morin.
It was interesting. You had a longer conversation than I did with one of the gentlemen from Canton there before the game, and he was talking about how they have several schools on the same campus.
Uh-huh.
It's a very unusual setup they have.
Plymouth, Canton, and I can't remember the third one. Myler lines up as a wide out to the far side of the field. Ross instead hands off to Morin up the middle. In fact, they were talking, about having four high schools all right there at the same campus, but between enrollment and funding, they ended up going with just three, but still three of them right there together. And then all the students' names go into a hat when they first go into the high school level, and then your name gets drawn out, and that determines where you, which school you go to, which seems so odd. It seems such, like such a foreign concept down here where you go to school where you live.
Yeah, well, that's what he said. You could conceivably have people on either side of you next door on your street, and you all three go to different high schools.
Yeah. Myler inside the 20 to the 19.
But he said for a long time, Canton was not a good program athletically at all. Well, then Coach Beckler got here, and they've become very good, and many in their area are not, so then nobody wants to play them anymore. All the football kids want to go to Canton.
Second and four, Morin out of the eye, gets the first down, still on his feet, and then leveled at the 14-yard line. And Morin just running straight up and down there. He wasn't even in a football crouch. He found a hole and burst through it. Goes as a gain of 10. And the Streaks in business, trying to sneak back into this game at least a little. Under 2 minutes to go, third quarter, down 35-7. Have a first and goal down at the 11. Again, out of the eye. A lot of eye formation on this drive. Morin again bounces off a man, slips down inside to the 5-yard line for a pickup of 6. First ever meeting between these two teams. First time the Streaks have ever played a team out of Michigan altogether. And, you know, we hear so much, all the blue chip recruits that come out of Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, the great football players that go on to play Big Ten and other Division I college football. And that's what Canton High School has been able to do in Michigan and facing a number of the competition that they do around their area. Hand off right, Myler. Doesn't find much of a hole.
Ball on the ground.
Came loose. Are they going to say it was out or are they going to say it was down?
They're going to say he was down.
I don't see the officials. I never saw a beanbag get thrown in there.
Yep, they're going to say he was down. I think we caught a break on that one.
So Myler will pick up 3. And it'll be 3rd and 2. Down to the Canton 3. Silver Streaks in 2-down territory. Myler dives forward. He got the touchdown. He needed 2 for the first down. He got 3 for the touchdown. And for the first time since the first quarter, the Streaks move the scoreboard with 33 seconds left to play in the third quarter. And they're back down 3 touchdowns.
Still, they're not going to win the game, but a heck of a nice showing of the character of this team. They could have gone out there and gone through the motions, said we're beat, but they took it and went against mostly first-string defense for Canton and went down the field and got their second score.
Mostly on the ground, too. Let the offensive line do the work that it has done throughout much of this season. Anderson's kick is good. It's 35-14, and with just 33 seconds left to play in the third quarter, we'll keep it here. Galesburg took 13 plays to go 62 yards, and they take 5 minutes and 10 seconds off the clock.
You know, you mentioned this being Canton, Michigan, and Canton, Ohio is not that far away. It's the Cleveland area, and I guess they're on the verge of having a series between those two teams for some years. Canton, Ohio, of course, considered to be the birthplace of football and a hotbed, I think, for high school football. Canton, Michigan, with a lot of success over the years, and I guess they got a call from what we're told from the folks in Canton, Ohio, said let's get this thing together and have an all-Canton game. And as they've talked about it more and got the finances of the thing put together, sounds like it's going to happen.
You know, the gentleman we were talking to before the game said for a lot of years, you know, the concept is certainly interesting. You know, you kind of boil it down to a high school version of a Michigan-Ohio State rivalry, I guess, between Canton, Michigan, Canton, Ohio. A lot of people really didn't want to do it. They were talking about the 2, maybe 2.5-hour drive out of state. All of a sudden, they make a 6, 6.5-hour drive out of state to come down to Galesburg. Suddenly, Canton, Ohio doesn't seem like such a bad idea anymore.
That's right. It's all in your perspective, I guess.
And I was joking with him before the game, too, saying that we were glad, real glad, that this didn't turn out to be a home-and-home series with the six-and-a-half-hour drive south to Marion next year, and then cap it off with a six-and-a-half-hour drive to Canton, Michigan in week nine to the north. We were very happy that that this is a one-and-done.
Yep. Although, you know, it's always fun to go and see different places, but
sure.
But it makes for a pretty long weekend, and, well, like Canton did, they didn't have any school yesterday. They came down here, took the bus ride, got some practice on the field. So it's a full two-day process.
I enjoyed Tim Beckler's comment in your pregame interview with him, saying the coaches were thinking, what? We're going where?
They all
the kids are really excited.
Coaches all groaned.
All right, out of that T formation, handoff goes up the middle, and straight up the middle it goes to Marcus Sanders, and let's see if that'll be the final play of the third quarter. It should be.
Got the Larry Pettis body slam on that one on the tackle.
Drive starts at the Canton 31, and this ball control, time control team takes a 35-14 lead over the Galesburg Silver Streaks into the fourth quarter in the final game of the regular season here at Van Dyke Field. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Trying to convey an idea to somebody else never results in the vision you had in your head. Take matters into your own hands. Let Breedlove Sporting Goods help you design your next t-shirt. Navigate to breedlovesports.com, click on the t-shirt designer icon, and put your mad design skills to work. Start by picking your canvas, t-shirts, polos, hoodies, even drinkware, signs, and banners. From there, you can customize everything, color, artwork, text, numbers, even upload an image. You can be the designer with Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. Get started now at breedlovesports.com.
It sounds good on AM, but sounds even better on FM. 93.7 FM, 1400 AM, WGIL.
35-14, the Chiefs of Canton, Michigan, with a pre-touchdown lead over the Silver Streaks as we get ready to start quarter number four. I want to thank one of our sponsors here for Silver Streaks football, Galesburg Nissan, for providing our transportation throughout the season. We only had three road games during the football season, and once we get to basketball, there won't be a single home game in December, and there won't be hardly any road games after December. Galesburg Nissan with a Fill a Frontier food drive going on right now with a donation of 10 non-perishable food items. You can get $500 off MSRP on every new and pre-owned vehicle on the lot, and we appreciate all that Jeff Klink and the folks at Galesburg Nissan do to provide our transportation, not only during football season, but Galesburg girls and boys basketball season as well, once we get that started here in, well, for the girls, less than a month. A third and five here for the Chiefs of Canton, Michigan, as we start off quarter number four with a three-yard run up to the 36. And it'll bring up third down for the Chiefs, who are 6 of 7. On third down in this game. And the handoff bouncing to the outside. First carry of the game as a flag comes down for Jared Goles. And he gets the first down running to the outside up to the 39-yard line. But let's see if the flag is a hold. It is in that territory.
And Diaz missed the tackle that could have been a loss, but as it turns out, it doesn't matter because there's a holding call more towards the interior of the line there.
First time we've seen that for either team this game. So that'll negate a first down and back it up 10 yards all the way to the Canton 27-yard line as we are 11-17 and rolling here in the fourth quarter. Third and 15 for the Chiefs coming out of the tee. And again, starting to put some different players in there. Handoff goes to Thornton left. And he's rolled down at about the 30, maybe the 31-yard line for a short gain. Not nearly enough for the first down. And for only the second time in this game, the Streaks deny the Chiefs from getting a first down. And for the first time in the game, they'll have to at least line up in punt formation.
Well, they had Jake O'Donnell, the regular quarterback, out there, but a whole different lineup of running backs. Jared Gallus, one of those, just a little stump at 5'5", 170, but a real strong kid. You can see the muscles off of his arm, so even though their first string isn't out there, they still got some good athletes, and you're right, they're going to kick for the first time. The punter standing at his own 17-yard line.
Jacob Donnelly, 6'1", also plays some tight end. It's a high snap. He gets the punt away. It's high, somewhat short, and running downfield, it almost came down and ran up the back for the silver streaks of Tavian Cervantes, who didn't realize the ball was coming down as close as it was behind him. And then fortunately for the streaks, it did not bounce and deflect into him. It was, I don't know, within 3 yards probably of him by the time it came down. And the streaks let it fall. Nick Myler does not make any kind of a run back. And Galesburg has it at their own 32, 10-16 to play in the game.
You know, no Chicago Bears to promote for tomorrow. It's their bye week. Bears football return the following week on 92.7 FM, The Laser.
Just when you started excited about the Bears with those two wins. And
let that one get away.
And in the way that they got them. Boy, the officiating was hard to figure out in that Bears game last week. Morin up the middle for a gain of 5 to the 37. So they start to get you a little excited with some come-from-behind wins in the second half and then lose to the Lions. Same old Bears, right?
Pretty much. Hey, they got two more wins than I thought they were going to get after the first couple of weeks.
Silver Streaks with a 2nd and 5 here from the 37-yard line. 9:50 to go in the ball game. Galesburg down by 3 touchdowns. Morin up the middle again and taken down from the backside, just short of the first down marker, I think. That's where the knee came down.
So the Silver Streaks will miss the playoffs, but there will be 3 Western Big Six teams go. Rock Island, the league champion. Quincy finished, with 7 wins?
Oh. 6.
That's right. They got their 5th against us, so 6.
Yep, 6 and 3. Well, they get the
Moline at 5-4.
They actually gave DeAndre Moore on the first down. Streaks will take it. Of course, we have Fighting Illini football coming up here after our broadcast. Illinois battling Wisconsin down in Champaign.
Pick up the end of
middle.
That game.
DeAndre Moore to the 47. So it's been Morin for 5, 5, and now 5 again. Jim, I was noticing up here earlier, actually around the time we were getting our broadcast started, so I wasn't able to really check out what was going on. And when I did check at halftime, as the handoff goes, Morin again to the 49 for 2 more. Oklahoma State is playing Kansas today. Down in Stillwater, it's their homecoming, and as they often do in the college level, a parade on the day of homecoming. They had a car that ran into a crowd of people at the homecoming parade, and they had a couple people who died there, several other people hurt. They are going ahead with the game, apparently. Out of the I formation, Morin up the middle. Yeah, DeAndre's getting a workout here on the 3rd and 4th quarter, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, you talk about that tragedy, but it's one of those where, boy, you really feel awful about everything that happened, but the scale of what it takes to stage a college football game on a Saturday, you really can't change it. I mean, there's just so many people make so many plans. You're talking hundreds of thousands. And so...
Plus you've got a team... The Jayhawks, I mean, it's not a long trip necessarily from Lawrence down to Stillwater, but, you know, if you have a tragedy that happens on Friday, maybe you can make communications for him not to come as the Streaks go for it on 4th and inches. It's going to be close, but gosh, when it happens the day of, they're already there. That's got to be taken into consideration as well. As the Streaks do get the first down, they went with a quick snap. Canton was showing blitz, but Ross on the keeper does get it just enough, it looked like. I mean, it was 4th and inches, and I'm not sure he didn't get inches.
Baylor routing Iowa State 35-14.
What, probably 5 minutes into the game?
Actually, fourth quarter. Early fourth quarter.
That's a victory in and of itself for Iowa State. Hold Baylor down to just 35. 7:40 to go here. Streaks down 35-14, flushed backwards, and then a perfectly executed screen on a completion to Nick Myler, who's trying to backpedal and now gets plowed from the backside and bursts forward to the 35. It'll go as a gain of 12 as Ross had everybody coming at him, and he just dumped it off to Myler. Well-executed play. at the 35-yard line. Just the fourth completion of the game, rather, for Jacob Ross. And you believe this, Jim? Myler's first reception of the game. He lines up as a wide receiver outright. They go to Morin again up the middle for three more, down to the 32 with 7 minutes and counting in the fourth quarter. Streaks down 35-14.
This will do your heart good. Texas is beating K-State 16-9.
Oh.
I didn't know, being a KU grad, which you had more disdain for, K-State or Missouri.
Oh, Missouri, definitely. Not the K-State's real high on my radar either. But all right, back to pass. Ross rolling right. Three in pursuit. Finally, he gets it away, and it's dropped by Morin, and a flag down in the backfield anyway.
Well-thrown ball, though. Morin would love to have that one back. It was right on his hands.
Would have been about 5 yards short of the first down had he caught it, and it is a hold against the Silver Streak, so it's coming back anyway, unless Canton wants to decline the penalty. On the incompletion, it would bring up third down. There's a discussion. And the official with the ball in his hand waiting to find out what the decision's going to be here. I would think you're just, especially with the play, with the flag down behind the line of scrimmage, it's going to end up being more than a 10-yard penalty, so they do take it. They'll let the Streaks replay the down for the loss of, all the way back inside Galesburg territory to the 49. So it ends up as a 19-yard penalty.
Third quarter flew by, this one going a little more slowly. A lot of penalties starting to show up in the game against both teams. It's getting a little sloppy, and here's another one.
Yep, that did not look right at all. The ball was just left on the ground there, and one of the Canton players had picked it up and was running it downfield. Jake Steffen was ready to take it.
Looked like it was against us. We've got all our first string out there, but they sure...
There was all kinds of weird movement up there and people out of position and just confusion all over the place. Now they put the ball right back down where it was. So what?
Did they even have a flag?
Well, I never saw a flag, but...
Huh.
So why do you blow the whistle? Okay, well.
Trying to get together on where they're going for dinner afterwards.
I guess. Second and a mile for the Silver Streaks. Morin in motion, really. Oh, now there's a flag from the referee.
Figure it out, guys.
Now, is that delay of game? Nope, false start. The Streaks had two penalties in the first half for 10 yards. Now they've had two penalties in the last two snaps or non-snaps. So now it's second down back at the Galesburg 44-yard line. They've got to get down to the Chiefs 25. So it's second and 31 as we are 6:36 and counting here in the fourth quarter. Galesburg down 35-14. The snap to Ross. Handoff on a delay to Morin. Gets to the 45. Across to the 46 for only two.
Got dropped over there by the coach's son again, Lou Beckler. Linebacker, just a sophomore. He's going to be a good one. Not real big at 5'9", but solid at 200.
Even with my headsets on, I could hear the Lou from the far side of the field.
Almost as loud as Moose when he picked up the ground ball last night and got the Royals the victory in the American League Championship Series.
Go Blue. Third and 30 for the Silver Streaks. They do have three third down conversions. They go on a handoff to Morin, and he gets slowed down, turned sideways a little bit, and then Jalen Cochran came from the backside and mowed him down at the 49.
Yeah, and a good job by DeAndre, who gets up limping to hold on to that ball, because usually when you spin in that territory, you figure, okay, I'm going to get a little yardage. Well, then, of course, here comes the specimen Cochran we talked about. Just buries him from the backside.
Ball just short of midfield. Galesburg going for it on fourth and a long 25. And now Ross will just pooch kick it to the far side of the field. Canton waving everybody off. Rolls to the far sideline. Stays inbound. And finally comes to a stop at the Chiefs 16-yard line with 5:15 to go in the game. And Canton leading 35-14. Well, will that end up being Galesburg's final offensive possession of the season? down by three touchdowns with 5:15. They will not make the playoffs. And that'll be very, very disappointing to this team, which was sitting at 4-2 with 3 weeks left to play. They needed one win against a Rock Island team that has not played very good defense this season. One win would have given the conference championship a fifth win, and as the conference title holders, they would have been in the playoffs. And now here we are in week nine, not going to make it at all.
Well, we knew October was going to be a lot harder than September, looking at the schedule.
Sure.
And I think a lot of us had the feeling, especially that Marion game that got away, that that would come back to haunt us.
By two, the Streaks lost that one. Lost to I thought the Dunlap game, the very first game.
Yeah.
When I saw that one, I thought, ugh, that one's going to cost us. Lost that one by three. So either one of those games in the first 3 weeks of the season. But still, you know, getting off to a 3-0 start in the Western Big Six Conference, every team that wins its own conference, at least as long as the conference has at least six teams in it, you win your conference, you go to the playoffs.
Well, and you're ahead of Rock Island 28-14.
Uh-huh. And all of a sudden, we talked about how rough their defense had it during the season. All of a sudden, their defense looked like all-stars in that third quarter.
Ran through us four straight times for touchdowns, and we haven't had much of anything positive happen since. I mean, we gave Quincy a really good game last week, but just made enough mistakes to not win it.
And off to the right side goes to Jared Gullis. Takes it up to the 40-yard line after a gain of two on first down. This goes as a gain of five.
But, you know, when we were sizing up this season, we all thought, well, I don't want to get to that Canton game and have to have that to make the playoffs, because we had read these guys have a great tradition, and we're seeing it here. This is the best team we've played against all season, I think, easily.
Yep, they're solid. They don't make many mistakes. And the quarterback, Jake O'Donnell, still in there, running out of that T formation. Handoff goes to the right side. Looks like the Streaks have stopped this one. Gallus with the carry to the 42. He had to get to the 43. And it'll be fourth and one with 3:20 and counting in the fourth quarter. And will they go ahead and punt on fourth and one at their own 42?
I would doubt it. 3 minutes to go. I think they've got enough confidence to grind out another yard. And if they do that, then we won't see it again.
It's only the third time the Streaks have stopped them on third down tonight, this afternoon.
It feels like night is overcast as it is.
So they do line up in fourth and one with 2:50. Now O'Donnell brings the team set. Quick snap.
That'll do it.
And up the middle, and more than enough, crossing the 50 to the 49-yard line, and they put Marcus Sanders back in there to get the job done. He's up to 146 yards on the ground now.
Well, and, you know, I like the Saturday games in one respect, because it keeps Friday from being quite the long day that it is for a lot of us, but it sure does hurt the crowd.
Yeah.
We don't have about half, not even half the crowd as we usually would have on a Friday night, any Saturday that we've played.
Now, of course, 2 weeks ago in the Rock Island game, students had organized and put together a lock-in after the game. So that added to some of the excitement, some of the energy. 2 weeks prior to that, when Moline was here, Channel 8 out of the Quad Cities had been down here at 5:30 in the morning, had a whole big festival going on here at Van Dyke Field. The lights on, 5:30 in the morning, water balloon fights, all kinds of activities going on that morning. You don't really get those kinds of things going on Saturday.
Well, everybody kind of gears their Friday night in the fall, sports fans, around football. And Saturday, there are just so many other things going on with families and not only sports, but other activities. And there's a quarterback keeper that goes nowhere. The Streaks blast that one. But
And as you and I were talking before the game, just being this late in the fall, too, when you get a day like this, which isn't great, but it's dry, there just may be some things that need to be done in the yard or around that you can't give up that time to go out to the football game.
And I'm guessing, you know, if you're listening at home right now, that you might have looked out and thought, well, I could go out to the game, but it's overcast, it's cool, there's a little light rain at times. I think I'll just stay here and listen to it, which we enjoy, but makes it hard on the team when there's not too many fans out here to lift them up.
Especially on senior day, too. Third and seven here after the O'Donnell run goes nowhere. Hand off to the first man through. They go back to Sanders, but the streaks stop him this time. He crosses the 45 to the 44, and the streaks call timeout. As with fourth down upcoming and 48 seconds to go, they want to get the ball at least one more time here.
Yeah, we were talking in the press box earlier. We were very surprised that senior night or senior day was today, because they just, you know, when they had it at 11, most people that were even coming to the game weren't going to get here till almost noon. You had no sophomore game,
right?
It was unfortunate. I mean, it was well organized, but
and that was just because Canton brought down varsity only. It's not that there couldn't have been a sophomore game, but
right.
The focus here was just on the varsity.
But, you know, in hindsight, maybe you go with the senior night on the final conference game when you've got a big crowd here on a Friday night and a lot of people in the stands, because really about the only people that were here for the senior day festivities were the parents and players who walked out on the field, and, you know, a handful of 20 or 30 people in the stands with some token applause, but it wasn't what you're really looking for when you honor the seniors and their parents, so... Again, well organized, but just next time maybe, as we so often see in basketball season, it's usually the last conference home game.
Yep. Yeah, if you've got a Saturday game. And of course, even Saturday games are unusual that late in the season.
Yep.
All right, Canton will go for it on fourth and five here. Handoff goes to the left, and Thornton's got the first down up the far side of the field and finally steps out of bounds inside the 25. So they needed five. They got a whole lot more. And the streaks won't even get the ball back with 43 seconds to go. That'll be spotted at the 24 after a gain of 20.
One more snap, probably take a knee, maybe two, and we'll call it a season. We'll talk briefly with Coach Doherty afterwards. Doubt that he'll have a whole lot of reflection, at least at this point. When you're just done with the game, it's hard to look back at a whole season.
Yep. And O'Donnell will just take a knee on the snap. He does. And, yeah, won't even have to do that again, because we're under 30 seconds to go in the game, and that'll do it. Canton wins the finale here, 35-14 over the Silver Streaks, as Galesburg finishes the season on a three-game losing streak, drops to 4-5, and hoping to make the playoffs in back-to-back years for the first time ever, they'll have to start a new run at it again next season. We'll close it out with the post-game show when we come back on WGIL and WGIL.
Refreshed, renewed, this two-bedroom home on Latimer Street in Abingdon is move-in ready. Open floor plan with two-stall detached garage with workshop in back. Don't let this home that's for sale by owners slip away. Visit Galesburg.info, keyword FISBO.
Silver Streaks football on WGIL is brought to you by Two Painted Ladies, offering upcycled furniture and unique handcrafted gifts. By Animal Medical Center, providing the finest veterinary care possible. And by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg, your home for Silver Streaks football, WGIL.
Looking to spruce up your kitchen? Maybe add a decorative countertop or some new cabinets? Give Courtright Construction a call for a free estimate. They can create a one-of-a-kind countertop that has the look of real stone for a fraction of the price. Learn more at CourtrightConstruction.com. The right choice for your next project. Courtright Construction of Oneida.
Silver Streaks football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Dave's Auto Body in Galesburg. You better call Dave's. Galesburg Nissan on North Henderson Street. You just can't buy a Nissan for less. McDonald's in Galesburg and Knoxville. I'm loving it. By Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating in Galesburg. You deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. Courtright Construction of Oneida. The right choice for your next project. Silver Streaks football is also brought to you by Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. OSF St. Mary Medical Center in Galesburg. All together better. By Cratty Insurance Agency, your local Rockford Mutual Insurance Agency in Galesburg. Proud to bring you GHS Silver Streaks football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
The official WGIL forecast. Today, mostly cloudy and a high near 62. Tonight, clear skies, a low 38. More sunshine tomorrow and a high of 61. Tomorrow night, clear again, low near 39. By Monday,
Sunny and a high of 65. Monday night, clouds in the evening, low near 44, and a chance for some showers on Tuesday. Tuesday's high near 60. Right now, we have mostly cloudy skies and 56 at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
WGIL's coverage of Silver Streaks football continues with the GHS postgame show on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Streaks ball here in their finale by a final of 35-14. Galesburg finishes the season 4-5 and will miss out on the playoffs. This Canton team that came down here was a good one. We knew they would be. And the key to the game really came late in that second quarter, beginning of the third quarter. The Silver Streaks down 14-7, had the ball with just over 3 minutes to go, could not convert a first down, and that gave the Chiefs the ball back with a minute 42 to go before halftime, and they converted that possession into a touchdown to take a 21-7 halftime lead, and then the opening kickoff ran it back 95 yards to take a 28-7 lead, and then on the Streaks' first possession of the second half, Jacob Ross tried to force a pass into double coverage intended for Nick Myler. The Chiefs intercepted that, and in the final, getting the touchdown with 28 seconds to go before halftime, the opening kickoff, and then the interception. Kind of like the game, it's certainly not over at that point, but looking back, Jim Lee, that was a crucial time of the game.
It sure was. And as you mentioned, that's happened to us a number of times here in October, that late second quarter, falling down by two touchdowns into the locker room, and then as soon as we blink in the third quarter, a kickoff return, and it was pretty well game over at that point. You knew you weren't going to be able to, number one, probably put up three more scores on this guys, but even if you did, to be able to keep them out of the end zone again was going to be awfully hard as well. So they are who we thought they were. Can we say that? That
yeah.
Probably fits pretty
yeah.
well here today. This team was, as they were scouted, and then their coach, Tim Beckler, he was very upfront about this is what we do. I really equate them a lot to like Alleman for years. Alleman would tell you, hey, we don't want to fill the ball at all. We might throw it once or twice if we have to, but otherwise, here's what we're going to do, and we're going to block, and we're going to tackle, and we're going to do it really well, and if you can stop us, then we'll shake your hand, and you beat us, and we'll go on. But if not, we're going to win a lot of ball games, and that's exactly what Coach Beckler does here at Canton, Michigan. He says, this is it. You just got to be able to stop us, and a lot of high school teams that can't quite get that job done against a really, really good program.
In the state of Michigan, you win six games, you're pretty well in. They have done that in all but one of his seasons, and even the one that they didn't, they won five, which is not automatically not making the playoffs in Michigan, but chances are you don't. You win six, you're in, and they have done that in all but one of his seasons at Canton, Michigan, and at 7-2, they're headed for the playoffs again once they get into the postseason next week. So no shame in losing to these guys, but Coach Tim Doherty doesn't care about that. He expected a better performance from his team over the course of 48 minutes, didn't get what he was hoping to get, and the Streaks fall here today 35-14. He's on the field right now, getting some post-game. Yep. So,
I'm on the field, and I'm thinking this is the second season in the books now in our brand-new facility here at Galesburg Public Schools Stadium, Van Dyke Field, and especially when you look back over behind us, and of course that's been falling into disrepair, and you're thinking, wow, what an improvement. This stadium, this facility is great, and I look forward to many more good years, hopefully under Coach Tim Doherty, who's doing a terrific job here, even though we just missed the playoffs at 4-5 this season. And here's Coach Doherty now.
All right, Jim.
Tim, first of all, thanks as always for making time with us, not only after the games but in halftime, before the games. It's a long season, and talking to the media when you've got players to talk to, I know we appreciate your time, and it didn't work out as well as you liked, but you had a lot of highlights in the season.
Yeah, we did. Clearly the ninth game is our best opponent, our toughest opponent, I should say. And outside of this game, and really it's going to come down to a couple plays, but they just had more firepower than us. And outside of that, we were in all the eight games, and I think six or seven made the playoffs. I don't know if you can ask for anything more, a break here or there, and, you know, we're looking at a different record. But nonetheless, our kids fought all nine games, you know, and to think that in the last three games we've been playing for a conference championship back-to-back, never been done, and getting in the state playoffs back-to-back, never been done. I'd say Galesburg football is where we need to be. We just need to, you know, take that next step. So, and it's always good working with you, Jim.
Thank you. We knew October would be hard, the hardest part of the schedule, but we went up there, shut out Ottoman 21-0, and then you're facing those last three games, and certainly the Quincy and the Rock Island games were one of those little change here and there, and that's what I guess is better to look back at a season and go, boy, we were that close, than to have had a season where you didn't compete very well.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, 14 points separated us from being 8-0, you know, and Rock Island scores on the last play of the game, and Quincy, you know, we had that. But I don't know. You know, it's one of these seasons you have to step back and really see it. I do know this. Our kids have prepared extremely hard going back to June 2nd all the way through the season, and I couldn't be more proud of our guys, you know, with the nine seniors that we sent out today.
Well, and this was the scenario you probably hoped to avoid, because when we looked at what Canton was doing, even before the season started, we said, boy, those guys could be pretty tough in week nine. You didn't want to have to get to where you're making the playoffs in this one, but unfortunately that's kind of the way it played out.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're very similar to Peoria and Notre Dame last year, and they got to the semifinals. And, you know, if you got to beat that type of team to get in the playoffs, you know, and a team that's trying to, you know, get back to a level that they're at, you know, it's just tough. But again, our kids really fought hard all season.
A couple of thoughts on this one. It's amazing. Brad and I were talking on the air how quickly a game can get away from you, because with just a minute or so to go before the half, so it's a one touchdown game. I'm feeling pretty good about we're toe to toe with these guys. They get the pass play, they run the kickoff back in the third quarter, and it was kind of game over.
Yeah, it's 14 points in a minute and a half, and a team like this with ball control, and you ain't going to get it back. You can't let a game like that. I knew it. I wasn't extremely upset before half. I mean, we needed a first down, didn't get it, punted, bam, second play, touchdown. You know, I don't know. And then come out, kickoff return. You just, to beat a team like this, you got to be really perfect, and a couple times we weren't, so.
Last year you had to bid goodbye to a lot of talented seniors. This year you've got a few, but a lot of underclassmen coming back, so that bodes well for next year.
We do, you know, and then we played some young kids. And that was my concern early in the season, was the young guys we had. And they've grown up, and I feel good about the guys we got coming back. And, you know, Jared and Nick and Max and those guys really were a big part of the turnaround here. And, you know, I'm sad to see those guys go, because they're really they're war horses.
It's been an entertaining season. We've enjoyed it. And, Coach, thanks again for your time. And have a good off season. We'll do it again next year.
Yep, you bet. Thanks, Jim.
Tim Doherty of the Silver Streaks. Brad, back to you.
As Jim indicated, our thanks, as always, to the coach for joining us and giving us the time that he does during the week to help us get ready at halftime, to give us some updates from the locker room, and then to give us some parting thoughts at the end of the game. Win or lose, which unfortunately was a loss five times this year, and it keeps the Streaks out of the playoffs. Up until this week, they had 2 3-point losses, a 2-point loss, and a 6-point loss, and that was the difference in reaching the postseason, and for the Streaks, not reaching the postseason. They finished 4-5. We'll give you some postgame statistics and our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game when we come back on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Silver Streak Football on WGIL, brought to you by Attorney Tricia Blake at Blake Law Office in downtown Galesburg. Caring Hands Animal Clinic. Caring Hands, Caring Hearts, next to Bart Optical on Henderson Street. And by Templeton Roofing, best in roofs. Galesburg's commercial and residential roofing contractor since 1930.
Men, if you're like me, you appreciate the feeling of a clean, smooth shave from a quality blade. A sort of shave that cuts clean, without the burn. So why are you messing around with generic razors that cost $32 for an 8-pack when you can shave with Harry's high-quality German-engineered blades for half the price? And if saving money and a clean shave isn't incentive enough, Harry's will give you their starter set, complete with a razor, three of their world-famous blades, and shaving cream for just $15. And shipping is always free. We'll also give you $5 off your first order. Our way of saying thank you for trying us. How are we able to save you all this money and still give you the best shave you'll ever enjoy? by owning the factory that manufactures them. That's how. So go to Harry's.com right now and enter code 8800 at checkout. That's Harry's.com, code 8800.
Pick this week's winning teams and you could win a $50 Cherry Street gift certificate with the Pro Football Pick'em on WGIL.com.
Our post-game statistics brought to you by Craddy Insurance, your local Rockford Mutual Insurance agency in Galesburg. The Canton, Michigan Chiefs defeat the Silver Streaks 35-14 here at Van Dyke Field to wrap up the regular season. The Chiefs scored on three of their first four possessions in the first half, ran back the opening kickoff of the second half, and added one more touchdown on the ground for their 35 points. They did not score in the fourth quarter. The Streaks got two rushing touchdowns to finish off a terrific career from Nick Myler today to get the only points on the scoreboard for the Silver Streaks. The Chiefs ran the ball 49 times for 360 yards and three touchdowns, two from Jared Stevens, who carried it 15 times for 78 yards. Marcus Sanders had the first touchdown of the game. He ran it 15 times for 145 yards. That touchdown went for 56. The quarterback, Jake O'Donnell, four carries for 45. Julian Thornton out of the backfield, 10 carries for 45. Jacob Wickens started the game in that T formation. He ran it four times for 42 yards. And Gallus carried it a couple of times late. O'Donnell, the quarterback, passed it just twice. The first one went for an interception. The second one went for a 61-yard touchdown to Jared Stevens. The Chiefs were penalized eight times for 68 yards. The Silver Streaks, 34 carries for 129 yards. They were led by DeAndre Morin, 21 rushes for 91 yards. Nick Myler carried it 11 times for 36 and both of the Streaks' touchdowns. Two carries for the quarterback, Jacob Ross, for 2 yards. Ross finished the game 4 of 10 passing for 49 yards and an interception. 12 yards to Nick Myler on one catch. Tyree Mitchell had an 8-yard reception. Jacob Carl caught one pass for 8 yards. And Caleb Clay had the biggest catch of the day of 21 yards for the Silver Streaks, who were penalized 4 times for 34 yards. Those are our post-game statistics. Our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game, Jim Lee. We talked about Caleb. We gonna go with Caleb again?
Well, I think we do. There really wasn't much of a crunch time left.
Nope.
after that kickoff return, which got us going on our first touchdown drive, and then we didn't put another one up for quite a while. So I think it's the kickoff return that at least breathed a little life.
And he also had the interception on fourth down.
He did, right. So, yeah, two plays there. So I think it's pretty well slam dunk for Caleb again today.
All right, Caleb Clay, our final Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game of the football season, and our final thoughts to wrap up this season when we come back on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Silver Streaks Football on WGIL brought to you by Dickerson's Photography. Timeless images for you and your family. Office specialists providing solutions for your business. And by Dennis Twitty State Farm, helping you manage the risks of everyday life, recovery from the unexpected, and realize your dreams. Your home for Silver Streaks Football, WGIL.
Galesburg Nissan's 5th annual Fill a Frontier Food Drive is going on now. 10 cans get you an additional $500 off your best deal on any vehicle purchase. You can save $1,000 and get 0% for 72 months on brand new Sentras. Or how about saving $2,000 plus 0% for 72 months on the best-selling Altima? The biggest deals of the year with our Fill a Frontier Food Drive to benefit Fish Food Pantry and the Galesburg Rescue Mission. Huge savings going on now at Galesburg Nissan, where you just can't buy a Nissan for less.
David Stuckel, owner of Waterworks Car Washes, discusses the Waterworks difference.
You know, our customers are loyal because they really like the power of our wash. You can hear and feel it in both the automatic and self-serve bays. Once you've experienced ours, all of the car washes seem wimpy by comparison. It's like trying to pressure wash your house with a garden hose. It just doesn't work. The power Waterworks gives you, combined with our soap, our hot water, and our deionized rinse, give you a wash you won't find anywhere else.
Waterworks Car Washes. Clean it like you mean it.
One call does it all, and that call is to us, Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Hi, I'm Neil Thomas. You already call us when your drains clog, your air conditioning quits, or your furnace goes out, but how about a bathroom remodel? With just one call to us, we take care of the entire project so you don't have to work with four or five contractors. Leave the worries of coordinating all the different trades required to complete your project to us. It's that simple. So give us a call today for a free estimate at Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating.
Silver Streaks Football on WGIL brought to you by Dickerson's Photography. Timeless images for you and your family. Office specialists providing solutions for your business. And by Dennis Twitty State Farm, helping you manage the risks of everyday life, recovery from the unexpected, and realize your dreams. Your home for Silver Streaks Football, WGIL.
Start your day with the WGIL Morning Brief. Read local news headlines on your desktop or mobile device. It's free. Subscribe now at WGIL.com.
Just enough time for some final thoughts here from Van Dyke Field, because we want you to get you to Illini football, which are taking on the Wisconsin Badgers with a 2:30 kickoff there, so we'll be able to get you to that. We thought it would be a quick game here, as much as they run the ball, as much as we run the ball. It turned out to be the case, and just not the finish we wanted, and I guess what it really comes down to is what you had said there a little bit ago, Jim. You don't want to go into Week 9 against these guys, against a team like this, needing a victory. I can remember years ago, one of my early seasons of doing Silver Streaks football, they were 4-4 and had to go to Morris for the last game. Now, I don't think back then five wins would have gotten them in anyway, but it was one of those pride things, finish over 500, and Morris was not the team we wanted to be playing in Week 9, and this one wasn't nearly the debacle that that game turned out to be. I think it was like 60-0 or something like that, but still a tough way to finish in a team. Now, if you're going to the playoffs, if the Streaks win that game against Rock Island a couple weeks ago, even get the win against Quincy last week, this is a great playoff prep game to play a team like this.
Yeah, because you're going to see a really good team in the playoffs if you go, but they probably wouldn't be a whole lot better than this team was.
Yeah.
You know, Tim Doherty compared them a little bit to the Peoria Notre Dame team of last year. I would say that Notre Dame team was probably still a touchdown or two even better than this bunch.
They were a little more explosive, I thought.
They really, and just dominating off the ends defensively.
Yeah.
But still, this was a good, solid team. I would guess they'll go a couple of rounds deep in the Michigan playoffs, depending on who they see. I don't think they're a state champion type team, but a very good football team, mm-hmm. no question. And so, this was kind of our playoff game today. We came up short against a good club, and you say, well, I think this team accomplished, outside of a few points here and there, about as much as we really, honestly, more than we thought. I think a lot of us thought, you know, we might only win three games this year going in, because
yep.
we lost so much last year
yep.
to graduation. We had so many question marks on the offensive side of the ball, and defensively, too. Kind of a no-name defense, really, when this started. They came together, they gelled, they played really well through the first two-thirds of the season. And the offense was workmanlike with Morin and Miner doing the running and the big offensive line. They had a good season, 4-5 against this schedule, pretty good. Next year they'll have higher hopes with a lot
yep.
of guys coming back.
Yep, and you just feel for kids like Nick Myler, Jared Fredrickson, a lot of those seniors who, you know, had their sights set all along, and 6 weeks mm-hmm. through the season it looked like their season was going to continue. So we feel bad for those seniors that it doesn't get to go on. But for us, it does. We'll be back together in a month for boys basketball and ready to go for another team that has high hopes for the Silver Streaks.
Absolutely. And maybe even those hopes bumped up a little bit by some news that we may have coming up in the next week or so.
All right. We'll look forward to that.
Yes, sir.
Thanks as always to you, Jim. We'll see you in a month.
Thank you much.
And our thanks to Chris LeGros and Nick Simpson, our broadcast engineers, for Silver Streaks football here on this Saturday afternoon. Won by Canton, Michigan, 35-14. The Streaks miss the playoffs as they finish the season 4-5. For Nick and Chris downtown, for Jim Lee, I'm Brad Benowitz. We'll be again back with you for Streaks boys basketball on the night before Thanksgiving, when Galesburg opens up the Thanksgiving tournament. And thanks for being with us for football throughout these past 9 weeks. We'll talk to you in a month. Good afternoon from Van Dyke Field.
Thanks for listening to GHS Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL, Galesburg Sports.